listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
It's like, damn, another black body in the streets and the judge let the cop off free. On my mama, that shit weak. They don't care about our race. These niggas get shot, white man get tased. You mean tell me if I'm selling DVDs trying to make a way to eat, they gonna shoot me in my chest and watch a nigga soul leave? That's why I hate the police. And I raised my son too. Baby, we got melanin. That's why they wanna hunt you. And I be trying to talk to God, but I don't think the nigga hear me. I just got killed and I ain't been through too, and I ain't been thinking too clearly. Can't even slide at the reason that he died. We lost, I don't know that name, on the freeway driving. I just wish I could hug, tell my nigga that I love him. I just had a baby girl, now she fitting to grow up thugging. It's hard being black, but I'm happy that I am. Crackers gonna let tell a nigga ain't shit, tell you all niggas ain't shit. All right, there you go. But I'm happy that I'm is, I think that's what I meant to say. Anyway, hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on Wednesday to end the week for the regular folk, premium people. Friday doubleheader, balls deep, nerd off. So you guys will see us, you know, you paid your dues, we'll be there. Assuming the hurricane hasn't flooded us and wiped us out by then. I don't know the rules on the hurricane. Everybody seems to be worried, but we're prepared. Our apartment complex put 6 sandbags by the door entrance.
I was so confused. I was like, what is happening here?
So clearly we will be protected from the rain, so don't worry about that. If you're worried about us, you know, don't, hey, if you see us fighting a hurricane, you hop in and help the hurricane, okay? Because we're going to be good. We're going to be all right, as Kendrick said. A lot of trees back here. A lot of trees. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they just fall lightly the other way. So we'll see.
Got a long way before they get to us.
Yep. But you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And there are 8 days left until the live show. And I'm so fucking excited. I can't wait to be there and to see you guys and to make jokes and to laugh and to have you guys get it and to sing songs with us and win contests and prizes and get all kinds of gimmies at the door and stuff. I can't wait. It's gonna be so fun. You know, it's gonna be a live time. It's like I said, 7 p.m. For, you know, the regular folk. For the people that are VIP, don't forget, get there early. We signing shit, okay? So we're gonna be in the second lobby for the VIP people. They'll instruct you when you come in. And you can go upstairs and get stuff signed, get a picture with us, all that stuff. And then we'll go down and do the start the live show. Chris Lambert's gonna open up 30 minutes or so to start the show. So you guys get, listen, the price of admission for just Chris Lambert is a steal.
Come on, ain't it though?
And then after that, we're gonna come out and do like about an hour and a half of a podcast. And it's gonna be fun. We're gonna play games. It's gonna be just like the show, but live. And
yes.
I can't wait for you guys to see what all we have up our sleeves.
I know, I'm so excited.
If you haven't gotten tickets yet, theblackguywhotips.com/live2018, Charlotte, North Carolina, September 20th, 3 days before my birthday. Come, show up, hang out, have fun. We appreciate everybody that does that. We also are going to have a sponsor today. Shadow Doll Productions has now gone live on Book Crushers. The premiere episode is now online. You can watch it, like, and comment on it on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/Shadow Doll Production with no S, or just put in Shadow Doll Productions in the search bar. It'll come up. Like it, share it, all that stuff. They will even take negative comments and dislikes because YouTube counts it the same because it's out there assholes. They don't give a fuck. And so assholes are welcome too, and is the freest way ever to support a podcast sponsor. And that is the absolute truth. They ain't asking for nothing but a second of your time. So yeah, go check it out. YouTube.com, Shadow Doll Productions, and like Book Crushers, their brand new premiere episode. All right, let's get into it, guys. The hurricane is coming. Somebody asked me, why is this gonna affect the live show? And I'm like, how? One, I can't imagine how it would, because we're gonna be at least 6, 7, 8 days in front of it. But also, I have no way of knowing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't, the hurricane should not make it all the way up here. Mm-mm. But it's possible it could. I mean, but at the same time, it could make it up here and not have that much of an effect on everything. It could make it up here and destroy the city. I don't know how these things work. We don't get hurricanes in Charlotte, North Carolina very often. That's kind of the thing. So, I think, you know, the hurricane does like a monster, you know, but at the same time, they hype up every hurricane, and you know what, I've never seen a meteorologist say, well, this hurricane's not that bad, it should be all right. Like, they're gonna be like, it's gonna fuck you up. So I don't know how much more dangerous this is than any other hurricane. I know when we had Hugo, that was a very special circumstance.
Yeah,
the hurricane, like, it was so strong, like, it hit the land, came all the way inland. And it actually got stronger after it hit the inland, which, like, never happens. And then, like, it went back out. Like, it carved a V through North Carolina, South Carolina.
Yep.
It was. And then it came back in later up the coast. Like, Hurricane Hugo was a beast. But I can't speak for what, I mean, no one knows what a hurricane is going to do. So you just got to, let it do what it do.
Because here, the most they're calling for is wind and rain. Like, right. You know, maybe flooding. I know they canceled CMS.
Right. When, tomorrow?
Tomorrow and Friday for the rest of the week.
Okay.
And to an extent, I understand, because
that must be why no kids was at the basketball court today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was wondering where them little motherfuckers came from. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they canceled CMS. And the biggest reason why is because CMS covers such a vast area. Like, the area it covers is huge. And it's one of those things where also some of the schools are actually shelters for people coming inland. So that's another reason why they cancel school here, because, you know, they're going to have people coming, you know, inland from other places. And so they wanted some of the schools to be free. They got the Red Cross there and all types of stuff. And, you know, they don't want that disrupting the children's day. And the last thing they want is children to be in school and something happened and it rains and they have to let them out early and shit like that. I know parents, I'm not trying to find, I know parents get all up in their feelings about school canceling. I completely understand that, because it's a fucking inconvenience for you, but at the same time, you know, they had to make a decision early.
Yeah, it's weird too, because, like, when Hurricane Hugo hit, we actually got the hurricane. Like, it wasn't like the other hurricanes where we get the outer edge of the weather and we get some rain and a little bit of wind. Like, we got that motherfucking hurricane. It was over here. And I still remember being hunkered down. We slept in the living room that day, that night or whatever when it hit. And being hunkered down. Of course, the power went out. We were listening to the, like, analog radio, which I wouldn't even fucking begin to know how to find a battery analog radio at this point. Like, yeah, right now,
back then, used to shit, I don't even know if they make them anymore. We used the radios with the double D's.
Yeah, where do you even get of analog? You gotta go to a truck stop to get some shit like that. I don't
radio
think
Radio Shack is out there with the CB radio.
Yeah, I don't think you can just pick those up anymore. Everything's digital and electronic, right? And Wi-Fi and shit.
Pretty sure somebody's broadcasting on that bitch. You know, somebody's grandpa is broadcasting on that bitch, talking about
I mean, there's still radio stations. I'm not talking about CB radio. I'm talking about actual radio with dials and buttons, and it goes, not digital. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, wait, but you got to move the knob to get the stations.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm sure they still sell them, but it's
they do.
It's just one of those things where, you know, it's such an old school memory to even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I'll be trying to search for a Wi-Fi signal or make sure that the AT&T tower is up or whatever to make sure I get my, you know, get my communication. But that was a different time.
All them crazy old folks we pick on, they're going to be like, you joked at me. Now ain't you glad I got this lantern, Grandma? Nobody knew the power was going to be out for 2 weeks. Okay, like, all right, now you and this goddamn lantern. Now, any other time, this wouldn't be useful.
Yeah, everybody's talking about having plenty of water and stuff, which, you know, like I said, I get it, but I mean, that's legitimately worst case scenario for here. Not that it can't happen, but, like, when it happened with Hugo, I think our power was out for, like, the weekend and shit, and then it came back, and, you know, my parents had everything in the deep freezer and shit, so we end up grilling some fish or something like that.
And it varies, because the way our neighborhood was cut up, some parts of the neighborhood got power, some parts didn't. We was out power for days, like.
I know we didn't have power for at least a weekend, I think. I don't remember exactly how long, and there were trees that fell in people's yards and stuff. But I mean, people make it seem like, you know, it's gonna be a month without power or whatever. I don't know. But and then the way people bought water yesterday, you would have swore like I said, the zombie apocalypse is coming.
They cleaned that bitch out. And I remember because my mama old and black, so y'all know she got like the deep freezer with shit in there that we probably never gonna eat. She had to put all that shit out. She was cooking all that shit. She was like, look, I had packed this bitch full of food right before this storm. The power went out. She's like, I'm cooking it. Anybody that walked down the street, my mom was offering them food. She was like, this shit is not spoiled. Have you ate?
Yeah, I think my dad grilled all the, like, he had these fish called Spot in the fridge, and he grilled all that shit up. And those fish are delicious. I don't know what happened to those fish. I don't know. He used to drive up the coast to get them and come back. So I don't know if he still does that. I don't think so, but those fucking fish was amazing. But yeah, so I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, if it hits heavy, then I mean, there's nothing we can do about it either way, you know? So we'll see what happens. So I just think it's weird that that hurricanes named after women do more damage.
They do.
Traditional women names, feminine names, if you want to call it that. I don't.
Right.
I'm sure there's probably better terms that I don't know yet, but you know, like just names that people associate with feminine.
Correct.
And this one's named Florence. And so what happens is, for some reason, and this is so stupid, but less people move and prepare when the storm's named after a woman, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, they're not the men. Everybody take that shit seriously.
Yeah, which makes you think, like, because some people will say, well, then just name them all after men. You know, just fuck it. People are stupid. Don't fight it. We're trying to save lives. Patriarchy sucks, but name all the storms dudes, and then people will just get the fuck out of the way. And I understand that. But I actually think they should name hurricanes after things that everybody fears, rather than just say, let's name them after men. Mm-hmm. You know, I say you name them after stuff like Hurricane the last two seasons of True Blood.
Mm-hmm. Hurricane student loan debt.
Mm-hmm. Hurricane Carl Lewis singing the national anthem. Bank overdraft fees.
Come on. Hurricane credit card bill.
Mm-hmm. Hurricane bills. Like Bill, like the man Bill. No, not William. Mm-mm. The hurricane Bills, nigga. Bills is coming. Let's go. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Come on.
I just feel like that can happen. So people start. I said this on social, on Twitter and stuff. People start adding their own. Somebody said, "Hurricane, we need to talk."
Come on, we need to talk.
We need to talk.
That's good. That been good.
Hurricane Hot Cone.
Come on.
I was like, but see, someone said Hurricane Trump, but I was like, see, some of these not gonna save everybody, because there's half the country that's stupid. Not that I don't want to see them drown.
Hurricane Hot Cone would make my ass move.
Yeah, but white people would be like, Hurricane Trump, I'm staying, and he gonna help rebuild my house when it's done. You know, like, we need to motivate everybody to move, okay? Mm-hmm. We gotta get everybody out. So it just we gotta come up with terms that, you know, are gonna scare the shit out of anyone.
Yeah, you know. I mean, not unless you got a specific target, you know. You wanna go out the ain't shit niggas, be like Hurricane Baby Mama.
Hurricane Commitment. Hurricane Child Support. That'll just
come on.
I'm just saying, we trying to get everybody though.
Everybody.
Hurricane Me Too.
You know, right.
That'll just get all the men out.
Come on.
So I don't know. It was good though. Had fun. I say Hurricane Grapes and Potato Salad, you know.
Oh no.
You got some people that might stay, I don't know. And also in the path of Hurricane Florence is potentially two at-risk nuclear power plants. So I don't know what an at-risk nuclear power plant, is that like at risk youth? It's like, does it not have a parent?
Come on, it's on his own.
Does it have previous records on the at risk nukes, like nuclear power plant? Like, what does that mean? You know, that nuclear power plant really hangs out with a bad crowd. I hope.
Know it's unsupervised.
Yeah, one with the same design as the Fukushima plant that had a meltdown during, I want to say that was a tsunami though, but still, I mean, that don't sound good.
Mm-mm.
So I don't know, man. I hope everybody will be okay, man. You know, nuclear power plants sound good until they start talking about natural disasters and shit,
right?
Then you like Godzilla came across like this or something.
Right.
Yeah, following that disaster, federal regulators required all U.S. nuclear power plants to perform upgrades to better withstand earthquakes and flooding after the Fukushima, Japan explosion for their nuclear power plant. They had two reactors that exploded and leaked radiation following 2011. Oh, it was an earthquake and tsunami. Shit.
Oh, double take.
Yeah, so... I don't know, man. I hope those power plants don't get fucked up or whatever.
Mm-mm.
All right, let's see what else is going on in the news.
Yeah, they out here glowing and shit.
Oh, they finally caught that dude that was accused of serial dating and dashing. He would go on dates with women, say he had to use the restroom, leave them with the bill, and it was making the news. It was such a big deal, like,
Women
was calling the police and shit, like.
He probably be like, well, I got it, I'm gonna take care of the bill and just dip on him.
He just be like, let me use the restroom real quick or something, or they go to the bathroom and he just leave.
Wow, and just never come back again.
Mm-hmm. After being accused of meeting women at restaurants across the Los Angeles area, only to leave them with the bill, he pleaded it. Not guilty to charges of theft and extortion. His name was Paul Guadalupe Gonzalez. Oh, guess the earnings. 45, allegedly connected with a string of women through dating apps and websites and invited them out to dinner between May 2016 and this April. Damn, he kept this streak going for a couple years, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm surprised they strung that together as the same person. I guess because enough women called and gave the same description. They were like, hey, all these people giving the same description, this might be the same person.
Well, you have to remember, Karen, this is in the days of the internet, so they just show his dating profile and say, this is the guy on Tinder that I swiped on, his picture's right there.
That makes sense. Okay, that makes sense. Yes.
So he would arrange the dates at restaurants in Pasadena, Long Beach, Burbank, in Los Angeles, where he ordered and consumed food and drinks, then disappeared before the bill had been paid. Eight women told prosecutors they'd footed the bill, one of them under the belief that he would pay her back. And at least twice the restaurant paid its own check, making those businesses victims in the criminal complaint. This is interesting. I did not think about this before we got started, but what exactly makes him liable for skipping out on the bill? Is it that men are supposed to pay the bill? Is it that anyone going on a date is supposed to play half? If this was something that a woman did in a cis hetero like matchup and she did this to men, is this still a crime? Like, how does that work? I wonder.
I don't know. And who knows what he told these women?
Yeah, like, is there a promise that you make before, like, I'm gonna pay for dinner, and then it's like, if I skip out, it's against the law? Or if I just never say that I'm going to pay for dinner, you just happen to assume it, and then I dip out, is that still illegal? I've literally never thought about this until we got on the air just now. Even though we've covered this case before, I actually don't know what the legal precedent is. The restaurant having to pay to foot the bill, I don't know how that's a crime that only goes on him, because that also would mean whoever showed up prepared to not pay as well, you know? I don't know. It's very interesting. Damn. Like, this motherfucker gonna have a landmark Supreme Court case or some shit. Like, this shit was funny for 2 years, and then, like, in 2020, like, the ruling that changed dating in America forever. the Guadalupe Gonzalez case versus Applebee's.
Yeah, and the thing is, like I said, I don't know what the crime is, but you know, for a lot of people, it invokes anger. Because yeah. A woman is like, bitch, I didn't plan on paying the bill. Now I'm going to have to come out of my pocket and pay a bill because you a bum-ass nigga. Mm-hmm.
But it just, I mean, like I said, that's a very patriarchal point of view for it, right? Like, that is a very, like, traditional men pay for the meal, women don't point of view, right?
Yeah, so like one of them, he told them he was gonna pay them back and never did. That was like,
yeah, that's funny that she has it. Like, it sounds like her thing is separate than everybody else,
right?
But they count charging him with what? It said 8 counts. So like, the other women, he did not promise to pay them back, and they still ended up in these situations where it's very interesting. You know, I've also heard women say, you know, bring enough money to pay for the food just in case, bring enough to pay for your half. Just in case you don't know how things are gonna go, maybe I don't like each other, maybe he's not feeling you, maybe he's a broke boy,
right? And you know, I know people getting the patriarchy, I can get offended. That's why some women, like, I don't care who you are, I will pay for my meal separately. Mm-hmm. Like, we two separate checks.
They and there are men who get offended at that too, because patriarchy works both ways. It's not just
right,
you know, one way.
Right, and you know, men get offended, but it's like, no. You know, you run into a situation like this, you're like, nigga, I'm not paying for shit that I didn't consume nor eat.
Yeah, and he's charged with defrauding the women of more than $950. So they're totaling up the meals. Now the question for me is that half the value of the meals, or is that the whole meal?
It's, I don't know.
It's a good question. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is the assumption of a date legally?
Correct.
That is a good ass question. Like, I don't know what the fuck's gonna, I mean, maybe this all get thrown out or whatever, but it's an excellent question to ask, which is, as a society, are we presuming, hey, on a date, what would have happened if there's the same sex couples? Same sex hookups. There was no man woman dynamic. It was the same sex or same gender or whatever. And one person just fucking goes, I'm not fucking, I'm out. I'm leaving this date. I'm dining and dashing, on you specifically, leaving you to foot the bill. How does that work in a courtroom? You know? Like, if a woman did this to a man, and could he legally, like, sue her, get her on the news and all this type of shit? Cause I think we would have a different measure of what was okay in a situation where maybe a woman left for her safety. Maybe a woman would have left for whatever. But then after 9 niggas, it's just like, I think this woman likes free meals. But what is it still egregious in a society where we look at cishet normative type of shit as men pay for women?
Right, and it will also define the definition of date and dating, who pays, you know, because a lot of people already deal with that anyway. So a lot of times when people go out and shit like that, like, a lot of people don't want to be caught in this. They're upfront, look, are you gonna pay? Am I gonna, like, and people get offended because you ask upfront about finances before anything happens. It's like, look, I don't want to be shocked, or either they suggest a place, you go look at the menu, but I know we can't go there because I can't afford that. So no. Because if you decide to dip and I don't plan on paying no $300 for a fucking meal, nope, I'm not eating there.
Yeah, and I would actually be legitimately scared if this shit set some type of precedent, because it could revolutionize and fuck up the dating game for everybody. If this dude doesn't get found responsible, I can't imagine the copycat ass niggas that would exist. it would change the world. Motherfuckers would be like, you know what, I don't like her anyway, I'm out. Everybody gonna be looking at each other hard when it's time to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Same time. Now, how about you use the bathroom after we get the check? I don't understand why you gotta go right now.
Right, you gonna have people, as soon as they make their order, they're gonna look, here's my charge card, I'm paying my bill right, paying my bill right now. Nope.
Right.
Everything else is this nigga's. My bill is paid in full.
Right, I'm just saying, man.
See, the post waitress is gonna be all caught off guard, getting handed cards and shit.
Yeah, he was, he's been charged with 7 counts of extortion, 2 counts of attempted extortion, and 1 count of grand theft, all felonies. He also faced 2 misdemeanor counts of defrauding an innkeeper and petty theft. Woo! This nigga the kingpin of these days. What? Felonies? Oh man, that is super serious. Alright, well, we'll see. You know, Trump, this, now see, this is why it was important. When it, this was on the ballot, okay?
Come on, this is on the ballot.
When this is a Supreme Court case, and Justice Kavanaugh is the deciding vote.
Come on, this was on the,
you know he gonna rule dead set against these ladies and be like, all women need to be prepared to pay in case a man don't feel like it. And it's y'all fault, ladies. And no, you can't get an abortion if he gets you pregnant. How about that? It was on the ballot and everybody thought it was a joke.
Mm-mm-mm. Yes, they did.
Mm-mm-mm. That's a damn shame. But both sides of the same coin, huh? Hillary would never. But yeah, this nigga. Good grief.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do. They might just dismiss it and just throw it out. But like,
looking like a broke ass A-Rod. My favorite part is that he looked like he probably still, he got the money. He just gonna go to court and be like, man, he'll take y'all a little money. He gonna act like it's not a big deal. Oh, broke ass niggas. He'll take your little $9.50. Probably worry about their little change.
Come on. Psh, psh,
psh. So I gotta pay for my part of the dinner, even if I don't like your ass. Okay. It's not like I tried to fuck. It's gonna be funny. In the courtroom, it's gonna be changing gender roles forever and shit. Women gonna be in there like, sir, I didn't even get no dick, okay? First of all.
Right, come on. I'm paying
for a meal, I expect dick. And everybody in this courtroom gonna be like, but we all say if you say that the other way, it's fucked up. You don't owe his dick just because you spent, I spent the money, didn't I? The shoe changes, boy. When it's on a different foot, boy, everything changes.
Come on.
I know if I'm paying 2 for $20 at Applebee's, I'm expecting some dick, your honor, okay? So I don't know what he thought he had fucked up over here, but I'm gonna need $10 back on my 2 for $20 plus tax, and I tipped, so I'm gonna need all that back. I'm gonna need at least $13 back because this nigga got me fucked up. Shit, I beat your honor, okay? I fucks, and he knew this when we went out. When he swiped right, he knew he was signing up to come off of that dick. Look at him sitting over there on that dick, your honor. That's my dick. Okay, me and every other lady, all my co-defendants, or whatever, all my fellow class action lawsuit partners deserve some of that dick, your honor. And he, look at them eyes, them pretty eyes. He gonna come up off of this. Mm-mm. Oh man,
that'd be good.
That's all it takes to change people's entire. All you have to do is switch the genders on some shit. That's, and most it. People lose their fucking minds.
They sure do.
Anyway, it's sad, but it's the truth. Publicly funded drive-in sex booths where prostitutes work legally in Zurich are held as a great success. Legal sex booths where customers take their cars and drive in to meet prostitutes have been deemed a resounding success by city officials in Zurich, Switzerland. The booths, which look like garages, celebrate their 5th anniversary on Sunday after 52% of Zurich citizens voted in favor of the local government spending $2 million on sex boxes in 2012. Prostitution has been legal in Switzerland since the 1940s, and the booths opened up in 2013. Before this, most sex workers stayed on the city's riverfront, but many moved following complaints from locals over traffic and noise. The legal areas help in preventing human trafficking and violent attacks against sex workers, most of whom are Eastern European. The government spends $800,000 a year to maintain the booths, which includes security and on-site social services. Wow. The sex workers pay taxes, right, have regular health checks, and are healthier overall.
Right.
This is the shit that when people say we shouldn't legalize prostitution, these are the things where I'm like, but this has actually happened in places, so we actually do have evidence that you can legalize sex work and it actually make it less dangerous for people.
And in the long run, you end up actually spending less money. Mm-hmm. People don't fail to realize that you end up literally spending less money, actually making more, because now you don't have to worry about pimps. Now you don't have to worry about finding dead prostitutes in the streets because, you know, they're monitored and shit like that, versus them being somewhat unregulated. You can't monitor them. You can't monitor their johns. And like, you ain't got to know, you know, quote unquote, the names, but at least if something happened, it'd be on film or something like that.
Well, so, they'll have the names. They'll have the
right,
names.
Right, right, right. Because of the booths, right.
Because it's going to be legal. So you're going to need government ID and shit to get in the game. I mean, the game is still going to be the game, you know. The other thing though, I would throw out there on this pimping, the reason it might not come to fruition in like a United States, other than, you know, puritanical shit and all that, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
We always say, well, you're not making money off of prostitution if you're not taxing this shit, but you are. The tax is jail.
Right.
The court system, police. So you're making fines. Like, they're making money off of it here. They're just not making it. They're just making it, and it's more dangerous for the people undertaking it. There's more likelihood that you'll get robbed if you're a John. There's more likelihood that you can get killed if you're a sex worker.
Right.
There's sex trafficking.
It's dangerous for everybody involved.
It's all underground shit. Mm-hmm. So you make it so that it is deadly when it doesn't have to be. And here you have a country that went, yeah, that argument makes sense, you know. And you can't really listen to these puritanical religious motherfuckers that think, oh, the morality of this, if we let this happen, your priests fuck kids, fuck you, okay? And they do it for free and they get away with it. I don't give a fuck about your moral hierarchy when it comes to this shit. Let's make a practical discussion, a practical decision, like we should in America. We should be able to make a practical decision not involving your fucking God. It should not even have to come up. Like, you feel uncomfortable, well, get used to feeling uncomfortable, dog. You should feel uncomfortable. I feel uncomfortable when y'all get to run shit. So now you know. But that's the only real argument I've heard against this shit, is these either the false, like the lies where they're just like, it actually makes it more dangerous, and they don't have any numbers to back it up, or even worse, the moral arguments. And I'm like, church as an institution cannot ever judge anybody's sex work, period. You guys have been abusive whenever you've been in too much power, and you do not prosecute or let the people get in trouble that abuse people. And that includes people that abuse children. You can get the fuck out my face. But yeah, man, I think this is a good idea though. Once customers arrive, like many drive-ins, motorbikes and bicycles are allowed, but those on foot aren't. Pedestrians are told to go to another part of the city. Once customers arrive,
right, because this is strictly for vehicles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Nope. Don't blame them. It's like the drive-through. Get your ass that drive-through on your 2 feet. It's a drive-through.
One of the 24 women working agree to a price and go to the booth, which is not monitored but has an emergency alarm for safety. Nadine Schuster, a spokesperson for the Zurich government, told USA Today the area was effective in preventing violence against sex workers and human trafficking. So there you go, man. For all the people, this can't work and this is going to be the worst. And if we legalize it, then what? Then everybody's going to be doing it and all this shit. Well, we have a working example here, and it didn't happen that way.
Right. The Johns are healthier. You probably reduce STDs. You force people to wear condoms. You force safer sex. Like, it's just overall a fucking safer environment. And on top of that, you show you actually care about your citizens.
Mm-hmm. Because just because, like, a citizen can be a sex worker.
Right.
You know, that's not the end of the world either, you know. rap music video, fuck the police isn't protected free speech, Pennsylvania Supreme Court rules. A rap music video filled with a specific and violent threats against two Pittsburgh cops isn't protected free speech against U.S. Constitution, Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled Tuesday. That decision set in an opinion by Chief Justice Thomas G. Saylor, sounds a sour note for one of the song's authors, Jamal Knox, who was convicted of making terroristic threats and witness intimidation. Knox and Rashi Beasley, that's the race, wrote the song Fuck the Police. After the two officers mentioned in the lyrics arrested them on drug and weapon charges in April 2012, Knox and Beasley were awaiting trial on those charges when the music video was posted on YouTube. Oh, wow. Knox, whose real name is Mayhem Maul, rap name is Mayhem Maul, appealed to the Supreme Court after the state superior court upheld his convictions by an Allegheny County judge on the threat and intimidation charges. He was backed in his appeal by several civil rights groups, including the ACLU and Defender Association of Philadelphia. Saylor cited lyrics of Knox's tune in reaching a decision that it isn't protected free speech. In particular, the Chief Justice mentioned the line, "Let's kill these cops because they don't do us no good." The video mentions the officers who arrested Knox and Beasley in the drug and weapons case by name and contains not so veiled threats to them. Saylor noted one verse mentions murdering the officers in their homes. Okay, yeah. I try to have my people's backs, but this is a lot. This is kind of a lot. I know police are public figures and public officers and shit, but making a song that isn't, like, it goes beyond fuck the police to fuck Officer Ramirez and Jones, that's kind of a lot. Yeah, I don't know that that's a free speech issue. Like, that does seem like a threat. I mean, can we be reasonable
here?
You
can still say fuck the police, but it's one of those things where you specifically call them out by name, so that's the problem.
Yeah, because I know I would feel threatened if a nigga was like, bash 92378, I'm gonna fuck you up, or whatever. I'd be like, hey, cuz, nah, we not doing that. Like, you know, like, I feel like if I was in the studio and they was recording this track, I'd be like, hey guys, can I stop you right there for a second? I don't mean to fuck up the flow, but do you really have to put his home address in there? Are you sure you want to? Because that seems like it's gonna cross some lines that we probably are not prepared.
And you know, you preparing to go to court, I mean, come on, my niggas.
Like, did you have to put, you know, his children's schools and ages and grades in there? Did you have to say, and we gonna shoot little Susie down in fourth grade to Kennedy? You're like, yeah, see, that's a lot. Let's take that line out. Dial it back.
I'm surprised nobody listened to that and was like, whoa, can we edit this? Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Are we sure that, nah, nigga, leave it in. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that can't go on and be a hit song. You know what I mean? Like, I've listened to a lot of rap. I pretty much listen to rap almost exclusively sometimes. And I still haven't heard a song where you just, I've not heard a song like this that you could just get away with this.
Mm-mm. And y'all know other people been busted by basically rapping about the crime.
Like, Nicki Minaj won't even say Cardi B's name on her songs. I can't imagine her giving out like somebody's address or some shit, you know? One of the named officers cited in the song as the reason he left the Pittsburgh force and moved from the area. Saylor noted he noted a special security detail was assigned to the other officer when police learned of the video. Saylor rejected claims by Knox that his supporters that the song constituted artistic expression and opinion shielded by the First Amendment. The Chief Justice instead found that speech which threatens unlawful violence can subject the speaker to criminal sanction. Threats of violence fall outside the First Amendment protective scope. Yeah, I agree. And honestly, I don't really see how you can disagree, because, I mean, it's the same shit people got mad at Alex Jones for. And universally, at least from the people I know, agree that he had to get the fuck off the internet and stop getting the platform, because he was up there like threatening people that kids died in Sandy Hook and shit, and putting their public information and doxing people and all this shit, and letting people threaten them and urging people to threaten them and stuff. I can see how a court would be like, "Dawg, we really don't have a choice here. You can't do this." Like, and what precedents are we setting for any level of music if we allow you to get in the booth and threaten somebody? I mean, we're saying a police officer in this case, but what if it was like a politician, or just like a someone that, you know, worked for the fucking, I don't know, water department or whatever? You'd be like, I'm gonna kill this nigga, you know? And God forbid the person fucking do it. That's a whole nother level of shit where it's like, hold up, player, what you doing? Lyrics of Knox's song are both threatening and highly personal to the victims. They do not merely address grievances about police community relations or generalized animosity towards the police. Rather, they primarily portray violence toward the police, ostensibly due to the officer's interference with Knox and Beasley's criminal activities. And if his court extended the free speech shield to Knox's rap video, we would in effect be interpreting the Constitution to provide blanket protection for threats, however severe, so long as they are expressed within the musical style. Yeah, yeah. Plus, like, for all the people that might be, you know, against that ruling, imagine a motherfucker put a rock song out and start threatening, like, activists and shit, you know? And I'm gonna kill so-and-so and this activist and these people. We'd be like, yeah, you can't, that's not okay to put in a song, and this nigga need to go to jail because he might do it. So anyway, I get it, but that was interesting that they brought that to court. Let's see what else happened. Netflix's To All the Boys I've Loved Before actor blasted on Twitter after racist tweet surfaces. Mm-mm-mm. This is the way it goes now.
Okay, I've never seen it. I heard you talking about it on You and Bossy.
This Too Much?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the specific movie. But when I say this is the way it goes, I mean, you get famous, you get a little notoriety, you have that first big break, and it's time to go to the Twitter machine to see what the fuck you done said.
Yeah, they gone.
It don't matter if you was 10. I don't care that you was 10, nigga. You said that shit in 1985, and it's time. Or 2010. Netflix released To All the Boys I Love Before last Friday, and while some viewers found the movie to be funny and charming, others criticized it after one of its actors' offensive tweets surfaced. Someone put, thread, time to air. I'm sorry. That shouldn't be funny by itself, but as a Twitter aficionado, anytime somebody put that thread as the first word or something, oh my God. You know they about to try to go all the way off.
Come on, they gonna link them up together, and you click on one, you see the whole story.
Yeah, but it's also like this such self-importance. The only thing more self-important than thread is thread 1/25.
Yes! I love them too.
Like, oh, they about to spill all the tea. That's they
I go grab my popcorn.
Thread, time to air some dirty laundry with To All the Boys I Loved Before at Netflix has a lot to answer for. At Jenny Han sure knows how to pick her actors well. I guess Jenny Han is the director or something.
Mm-hmm.
Israel Broussard is an actor in the movie. The name Broussard, who says dogs can sense, the same Broussard says dogs can sense earthquakes, too bad Japan ate them all. And then they have a link to the archive, which I assume is like an archive picture of, or archive tweets, since all these tweets is in the Library of Congress now. London-based Seb_Paradise called out Netflix and series author Jenny Han for casting 22-year-old actor Israel Broussard. Now, what is reasonable to know as a casting director person? Is this now a new thing where, because one of the things I'd throw in there is this tweet is not readily problematic in the fact that, I mean, if I hired a firm to say, hey, can you check this guy's tweets before we hire him, they're gonna look for nigger, different, you know, racial slurs,
mm-hmm,
homophobic slurs,
right?
They might not catch this, and I mean it's kind of reasonable that nobody would catch it. You know, in general, no offense to, you know, other than the people that spend all time on social media looking for this kind
of
shit.
Yeah, a lot of them stay woke.
Jenny Han, who directed this movie, it seems, or wrote this movie, I guess, wrote this movie, might not have even selected this author. Because she wrote the book. Author of the number one. So did she direct the movie too, or did she just write the book? You know what I mean? And you're blaming her. Another thing, she follows 666 people on Twitter. There's a chance she ain't see this shit.
Guaranteed.
I'd almost say the chances she did see whatever this specific tweet was is very low.
Right, she doing shit.
Right. But yeah, it's just super wild.
Yeah, a lot of times people hold you accountable when you're like, Hey, how was I supposed to know that?
Yeah, it's just, yeah, like, it's like, if you want to blame him for saying it, I almost get that.
I understand that.
Cause, I mean, now the tweet's from July 2011, so you're talking about, what was that, 7 years ago? This guy's 22, so you're talking about a 15-year-old, making this inappropriate joke. And that should stop him from being cast in a movie for the rest of his life, or whatever. That's, I don't know. And it only had one retweet, so I was like, how did you even find this? You must have been the one retweet. You were waiting.
You was combing.
This motherfucker broke my heart. But yeah, instead of offering condolences, Broussard chose to racially insult Japanese people by saying, this just shows how much he values Asians, Seb said in another tweet. So basically saying, yeah, he said, dogs can sense earthquakes. Too bad Japan ate them all. That's after, that must have been after the tsunami or earthquake in Japan. And he was like, and they're like, look at what he said. I'm like, yeah, that is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
That is also, you know, 2011. But it's kind of par for the course now. This is what people do. And then someone else, of course we already know this, someone said, seriously, Israel Broussard's likes are the biggest pro-gun, pro-Trump, pro-Ben, fucking Shapiro, anti-Muslims, black and women mess. So they went through his likes on Twitter to find what he likes as well.
Oh, they had the time. Who the fuck is gonna invest this much time in an up-and-coming star?
He also called out Netflix and Han for forcing the Asian community to support an absolute perversion of a film. So then he also said that he don't like the film as well. So it's not the first time Broussard has been blasted for his social media presence. The actor appeared to post anti-Black Lives Matter tweets and support for Donald Trump in 2016. Hashtags don't fucking matter, but all lives do. Black lives matter, white lives matter, police lives matter. Other netizens in the community shared Seb's sentiments about "To All the Boys I Ever Loved Before." I don't even know if these share the sentiment though. This don't seem to be about these tweets at all. No, Asian women don't always have to date Asian men, nor do Asian women always have to date white men. It's almost as if this topic is much more complex. Hashtag to all the boys I loved before. Seriously, can't believe the main character to All the Boys I Loved Before is named Laura Jean. Jenny really wanted to write a romance for a white girl, but had to make her Asian in order for it to be a self-insert fiction. Yes, this don't have nothing to do with these tweets. What? Goddamn, man, journalism is not really journalism anymore.
Mm-mm.
It's really like, I'm gonna just look up this hashtag and throw these in there too. Mm-mm. They seem to be upset. Anyway though, that is interesting, man. I don't know that that's enough to like bring that dude down or to stop that franchise or get him fired or whatever.
Nobody gets canceled.
I mean it's not saying it would end his career, but like I could see if it was offensive enough, them being like, we don't want this dude in a sequel to it, because they're making more, another one of these movies. This is apparently going to be like a series of movies, so I could see them, if they really thought what he said was fucked up, being like, yeah, your ass gotta go. Like, if he would have said that today, they probably would be like, yeah, you can't be in the sequel.
I can understand that, you know?
But I doubt that they're gonna be able to hold some of 2011 against that dude, no matter how fucked up that was when he was 15. So.
Agreed.
But yeah, that was interesting. Also, it's just crazy that's par for the course now. It really is. Somebody makes it to a new platform and got combed through all the old things they ever said to get him canceled.
Yep, that's the thing about the digital footprint.
Yeah, and of course he has an apology as his, you know, as his head, like, number one tweet, you know, pinned right now is the I'm sorry for the things. I don't know, to me it's almost like getting tired, where, because it's not that I feel like he's not sorry or whatever the fuck, it's just it's such a predictable thing. Everyone's just kind of playing their part in the dance. We bring up the old shit, you gotta apologize for it, nothing really happens, we move on to the next project. Every time your name comes up, someone brings up that one old tweet, and this is probably the most stretch I've ever seen, because it's one tweet. you know, normally
anime, it's a series. It's like, hey, right. You did this multiple times,
right? Normally when you want to say somebody's fucked up, it's like, oh, this motherfucker used to make all these same jokes or something. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. What is the necking game? Schools warn about a potentially dangerous prank. As the school year begins across the country, some students are excited to get back to classes and seeing their friends, but others have some concerns about a game that's become popular among some age groups. Necking, or the necking game, is a rising trend among school students that involves slapping one another on the base of the neck. One boy, a fifth grade student at Forkner Elementary School in Fresno, California, said when a student hit him as part of the game, he felt pressure hitting his head. The student, Robbie Seager, was waiting for his mother to pick him up from school when another student slapped him on the back of the neck. The game involves exactly what happened to Robbie, slapping another child on the base of the neck and then running away. While the slappings are particularly dangerous for the kids, it can lead to other injuries. And if it's done with enough force, it could cause some health concerns. Do you know what your kids are up to at school? Robbie's mom expressed concern for to KFSN that the slap could cause kids to fall forward or get injured in another way as a result of the slap. She was angered at the lack of communications from the school about the game. The school reportedly sent an audio call to families last week about the game. Games that have potentially dangerous outcomes are nothing new among children and teens. Sometimes the challenges in the games they play can have severe consequences. And then they bring up some other games like the Cinnamon Challenge and all that shit. Karen, you ever played the necking game?
No, I don't play that. Don't be touching me.
That's right, because girls don't play this game normally in school. I grew up with the necking game. We called it slaps, though. And people would slap somebody in the back of the neck, normally after a fresh haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the worst time to get hit in the back of the head. Oh, my God.
No.
I'm not ready for this.
No, what are you doing? Don't play this. And then also,
yeah, most time that shit done by little boys. Like, normally this is not shit that girls do.
And it hurts like the dickens. I won't lie, it stings. But the thing I was gonna say, and then we had rubs, which you also, that's when you stick your hand on the back of someone's neck and then you rub it really hard. Then the friction from the rub stings a lot.
Oh.
Yeah, because that's how boys play. Mm-hmm. We hurt each other. That's fun. Mm-hmm. I actually saw one of the worst beat downs of my life happen over the slaps.
Right, because that shit ain't, you putting your hands on people, you never know how people are gonna respond.
Yeah, escalated.
You don't touch people. That's, you know, I'm surprised more brawls didn't break out.
It escalated because there were slaps, and this dude got his back of his head slapped, and he chased these dudes down the hallway, and then those dudes turned and beat him up, and then he fought another one of them by themselves later, and then in his neighborhood he got jumped. So it's like all this violence happened off of fucking slaps. Like, this shit is some old Hatfields and McCoy shit off a goddamn stupid ass game.
Right. Well, just keep your hands to your fucking selves.
Yeah. I mean, and also, it's like, we're getting so old that the shit is just coming back around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's gonna be next? We're gonna be pulling people bra straps and snapping them? You know?
Nah, you wanna start a brawl? Do that bullshit.
Ponytail, tugging?
Yeah, people think that shit is funny. That shit ain't motherfucking funny. Let me grab some up underneath your balls and let them smack, and let's see how you feel about that bullshit. Okay. Don't do that
after the show. Don't threaten me with a good time. Okay,
Lord. You ain't supposed to be telling our secret. That hurts.
I'm just kidding. I don't know. Let's move into something else. That was enough, guys. That was enough. All right, let's see about our other segments. How about fucking with black people? We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe, we find different articles make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 and intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Yay! Alright. let's talk about who's been fucking with us. So that cop that shot the black man in his apartment, there's some more updates.
Okay.
The attorney for the family has revealed there may have been a connection. You know, we've been wondering all this time, what the fuck could the connection be? You know, is there more? This is one of the reasons I don't want to talk about it right away, because you want to let things develop before you just start assuming shit. People calling it premeditated murder, saying they were dating, all these things. But the lawyer said the only connection we've been able to make so far is that she was his immediate downstairs neighbor, and there were noise complaints from the immediate downstairs neighbor about whoever was upstairs, and that would have been both of them. In fact, there was noise complaints that very day about upstairs activity in Botham's apartment. Botham received a phone call about noise coming from his apartment from the downstairs neighbor. So, I mean, I'm not saying open and shut case or nothing, but that does lend some level of motive possible to what could have happened, to where people feel like, hey, it's kind of a coincidence. This dude, you thought he was making too much noise, and you knocked on his door, according to some witnesses, yelled to be let inside, and then shot him. You know, maybe it could be something to do with that. I don't know.
I guess my biggest thing: how did you get his phone number?
To get your neighbor's phone number? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, don't nobody got our phone number. What you doing calling me? Why didn't the people in the apartment complex come give me a fucking phone call? Who is you?
Mm-hmm. I don't know how you got that. Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily know how you get that number anyway. Maybe you call it to the front desk or something. I don't know. It could be a lot of stuff. But, you know, or they might have those intercom systems. It sounds like they were in the one with a parking deck.
Okay. So and and that makes sense. But even with the leasing office, they wouldn't give your phone number out. Like, they would probably call them on your behalf.
You say that, but we're not police officers.
That's true. She may have made them give, because that's my thing. It's like, how did you get that's my thing. If it ran through them, that's one thing. But if you just got my phone number off of you being a police officer, that's a problem. I didn't commit no crime. Why you fucking have my telephone number?
Now, in addition to that, pictures and stuff of her family and her, you know, have surfaced, and people are saying there's some white supremacist overtones in some of these pictures. Relatives of the Dallas police officer who killed Botham John said Tuesday that they aren't racist despite social media chatter about photos of them. Specifically, internet sleuths, shout out to Black Twitter CSI.
Mm-hmm.
Internet sleuths have pointed to three photos of Officer Amber Geiger and her family as possible indications that they have white supremacist inclination. Geiger, who is white, is now at the center of the national outrage over white officers shooting unarmed black men. Geiger shot John, who is black, in his apartment last week after she mistook his apartment for her own exactly one floor below. After the shooting, social media users noted photos of Geiger's brother-in-law, Noah Garza, making hand gestures that some believe might symbolize white power. Yeah, he's holding up the okay signal thing. One of them's upside down and one of them's the right way up, kind of. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is, supposedly that was the 69th birthday of, like, their grandfather or something. So you could also make a, you know, argument that that's a 6 and a 9.
Okay.
Although they appear to be kind of backwards, right? Because 9 would be the one down. And it's like he's holding them backwards to me. Unless that photo's been doctored, that 69 looks upside down, right? Anybody else in the chat see what I'm saying, or am I tripping?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, because the 6 would be right size up and the 9 will be at the bottom.
Yeah, because like if I'm drawing a 6, it's actually like this, you know, like that's the 6. Mm-hmm. And then the 9 would be the one that was down like that. So I don't know how he came to the conclusion that looked like a 6 and a 9. That does not look like a 6. That looks like a 96. If that. Also, the 6 is backwards. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's just stupid, but that shit don't look like no 69. You know, am I tripping, chat room? I mean, maybe if the pick is reversed, it's a 69. Possibly. Even that's kind of a little bit of a stretch. But that was one of the excuses. The family members declined to discuss the shooting, you know, of course. The dudes, her brother said, my last name is Garza. I'm a Mexican. I don't care what about your nationality. I don't care about the color of your skin. We all bleed red. Now, looking at the picture, he's definitely a white passing Latino if he's Latino. So it ain't exactly right. Like you being Mexican and being affiliated with whiteness, not necessarily two things that are mutually exclusive.
Come on.
But you know, the ADL, the I think Anti-Defamation League, were saying that they don't think there's any white supremacist intention here. So, you know, then they had one where they were holding up him and his friends were doing like middle fingers West Coast. It looked like he was holding up an L or something like that. I don't know how that one would necessarily be racist, to be honest. I don't know what that symbol's supposed to mean.
I have no idea.
Yeah. So that one seems like a reach. Now then there's this picture here. The third photo is Geiger's mother in a white t-shirt that says All Lives Matter. Now see that one right there, that's the one where I'm like, we all know what All Lives Matter means.
Correct.
And it don't mean no damn All Lives Matter. We all know what that means.
Because you didn't exist until Black Lives Matter.
Right. And you don't wear that shirt when somebody else gets killed. Y'all know when y'all wear that shirt. It's not like y'all wear that shirt and show up at the Black Lives Matter rally and go, because we All Lives Matter, that's why I'm here. Right, I'm just gonna wear these shirts to everywhere. Like, it's an anti-Black Lives Matter shirt.
Of course.
So that one was the one where I was like, yeah, okay. I don't think that, you know, that proves, that doesn't mean what you think it means. So, but yeah, 0 to 100.
Oh, that's always gonna be 100.
Yeah.
I mean, I just get the updates as you update me, but still.
100. Where are her pictures with her black friend? That's the problem. Girl, you need some black friends to give cover to your racism. NRA spokesperson says Botham Jean should have been a licensed gun owner and the outcome might be different. And I believe it's that detestable woman, Dana Loesch, that said this. Yep, it was. So she's a permanent 100 for me.
Who is she?
She's a spokesperson for the NRA. She's the woman that says stuff like, the media is using white women's tears after these school shootings, and that she tried to make herself sound woke, but really she didn't mean it in the way of like, because black women's tears matter too. It was none of the tears matter. Stop. We just want our guns.
Right.
So she get 100 from me all the time. What about you?
Oh yeah. Good fuck, he had a gun or not. She still could have shot him and killed him with the gun. Like, what the fuck? I don't know why you think just because everybody got a gun don't mean people ain't gonna still get shot and die.
Right. Also, like, if they have the gun in the way that they claim sensible, responsible gun owners should have, so it's locked in the safe, the bullets are separate from the gun.
Right.
if someone busts in my house with a gun, I'm dead. Like, I don't need, like, how's a gun gonna stop me? Oh boy. And also just another way to blame black people for their deaths, because the NRA don't even want black people to have guns. They didn't give a fuck about Philando Castile, who literally did have a permit and a gun and was killed with the gun on him, and they were silent. So I don't believe for a second if he was a licensed gun owner that they would have had his back. They would have said the police did the right thing, or they would have stayed silent like they do. Cause that shit is not for black people.
Oh no, no, the right to own guns, no.
Nah, it's for white people. Some white people shit in America, and black people with guns just get laws passed to keep people from having guns. Devin Windsor says she relates to problems women.
Class
of color
is in session. Feed the dorm hero with Clorox toilet wand, which kills 99.9% of germs and cleans faster than
kill all them germs.
Toilet wand? Nah, she said toilet wand.
Oh.
Yeah. With Clorox toilet wand. Ooh, from the prison. Straight from the prison. Devin Windsor says she relates to problems women of color face because she's blonde.
there's a little bit of drama between friends and within the industry, and just basically nine models who have built their careers and are independent, just kind of sorting their way through the modeling industry, which can be
This seems
crazy,
like
cutthroat, and a lot sometimes, but with your squad,
this video seems more like a promotion for the thing. That's not the video I want to show y'all. So apparently this is a TV show that they're on, or something, or somebody's recording. Yeah, it's called Model Squad. It's an E series, on, you know, the E channel.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's all these Victoria's Secret models that they follow around, like reality show or whatever. And they were having a discussion, some of the models of color, talking about how, you know, difficult it is to be a woman of color in a game.
Like, before there was not, like, there were no plus girls. They there were no, like, girls of color. Yeah.
You guys, what's going on? What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Diversity.
Diversity?
Diversity.
Diversity.
I used to get bullied. Because of my skin color, I wasn't going to be able to do high fashion. A lot of black girls would have to miss Milan because they won't be able to walk in the shows because they don't want girls of that color.
I know it's super hard to relate to.
I literally went through hell and literally lived in different countries like every other month and didn't speak that language, didn't speak Paris, didn't speak Italian. And
didn't
I did
speak
that for
Paris.
Like 2 years.
I don't think you can relate to the turmoils of being different.
Do you know how hard it is to be blonde? I have to get a highlight every month. Do you know how hard it is to
that? Oh my god, small violin.
Highlight her hair.
She said that.
And apparently she don't speak Paris. That's good. I don't speak Paris.
That is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. How is that possible? Someone can be that fucking stupid. And she don't even sound like she's a natural blonde. She says she gotta get highlights every month. So is your hair even really that color?
Mm-mm.
What the fuck? Don't speak Paris? What? Cuz.
That is fucking hilarious. I don't speak Paris.
She really, do you know how hard it is?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Oh my God.
I award you no points.
Another model, Olivia Copio, suggested Windsor comments were taken out of context and misconstrued to manufacture drama, but Windsor eventually realized the error of her ways. She posted that apology on Sunday, saying that her comments really came across as incredibly insensitive. I want to apologize for what I said. It goes without saying that the comments on the show are incredibly insensitive. The majority of the conversation was edited, and if a peer of mine wanted to discuss such a serious subject, I would never follow it with a joke. I have an immense amount of respect for my peers. I know the struggle of diversity and inclusion in my business as well as in so many others, is not one to take lightly. I made a comment in jest to infuse levity, and I feel terrible that I've hurt others. I'm even more disappointed that my comments could lead anyone to believe that I have a prejudicial bias. I respect, honor, and admire all those breaking barriers and working to forge a new and inclusive community both in and outside of modeling. And I'm sorry I don't speak Paris, okay? Zero to 100, Karen.
100.
Yeah, I think that's 100. And also, that was stupid. Now, actually, you know what? No. I take it back. I'm going to go with 75. Because there is a chance. And I'd even go to say probably a greater than likely chance that they did edit that conversation to make it look like she said that shit right after those girls said that other shit in the middle of it and like cut them off with it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance that that's like, there's a chance, and I'm gonna give her 25 off. There's a chance they edited it for maximum drama and made it seem like her comment was 100% serious and they weren't joking it. And maybe that is just good editing to get some conflict. But there's, that chance is not enough for me to say she, like, just don't say shit like that. You know that they can do that. They can edit the show. It wasn't getting laughs. It didn't appear. Even as it's coming out of your mouth, people weren't laughing. You had a deadpan delivery that didn't seem like a joke. I don't know. So that was pretty terrible. All right. And lastly, Brad Pitt built homes in Katrina. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
After Katrina, I mean, in New Orleans after Katrina. And it was a big deal because it's like, yo, Brad Pitt is building homes for these people, and fucking George Bush can't even come down here and give money and rebuild people's lives, but Brad Pitt can. I remember seeing something about it on like HBO. I don't know if it was Vice or something, but they like covered it. I'm thinking it was like a documentary or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the people who live in those homes are saying that those homes are trash now.
Oh, that's not good.
They're falling apart and they're suing.
Wow.
Yep. Apparently Make It Right was
I guess a company that put the homes together or something.
Yeah, there's a company. The mission was to build 150 well-designed green affordable homes in the lower Ninth Ward, the area hardest hit by Katrina. As of 2016, the group reported spending $26.8 million building 109 homes, fueling the most visible recovery effort in the area still reeling from the storm. But Allen and 11 other residents who spoke with NBC News, 10 of them on the record, say that many of the Make It Right homes are rotting and dangerous. They complain of mold and collapsing structures, electrical fires, and gas leaks.
Shit.
Yeah, those last two you don't want to combine. They say the houses were built too quickly with low quality materials and that the designs didn't take into account New Orleans' humid, rainy climate. This has been years of ongoing lies and broken promises, Allen said in a recent interview in which she detailed Make It Right's pledges and failures to repair her home. As the problems worsened, the organization has all but disappeared. Make It Right hasn't built a home, filed tax forms, or updated its website since 2015.
Wow!
The downtown New Orleans office has been closed, the staff has been cut to a handful, and residents say their calls go unreturned. While Pitt ordered inspections for the homes in 2016, according to spokesperson, residents say they're still waiting for the results for much-needed repairs. Linda Jackson, a longtime resident and founder of the Lower Ninth Ward Homeowners Association, a group that advocates affordable homeownership and resident-driven redevelopment, said that the majority of Make It Right's homes are now vacant. It's just not working out, she said. Some residents have stayed quiet about the struggles out of loyalty to Brad Pitt, who brought attention to the need to rebuild, while others have been silenced by non-disclosure agreements that Pitt's foundation required them to sign in exchange for settlements or repairs. So if you want to, hey, this thing is fucked up, well, if you want us to fix it, I'm gonna need to sign this NDA so you don't tell people to build some shitty houses. But residents are growing increasingly frustrated and vocal. Last week, two residents sued Pitt and Make It Right, accusing the organization of breach of contract and fraud for selling them defectively and improperly constructed homes. Spokesperson for Pitt declined to comment on the lawsuit, but released the following statement to Pitt on Pitt's behalf in response. We began an extensive review of homes just after the 10th anniversary of Katrina. Thanks to the dedication of the MIR team, we have been coordinating repairs of homes experiencing problems since early 2018, and I have total faith in our team on the ground to see this through. I made a promise to the folks of the Lower Ninth to help them rebuild. It's a promise I intend to keep. Make It Right's corporation headquarters and last known board members did not return calls for comment. Damn. So I don't know, man. That 100, I guess I'm fucked with.
Mm-hmm.
And you talking about people that's very vulnerable, you know?
Yeah, and like I said, I didn't even think about it, but yeah, it's like their humidity is worse than our humidity here. We get humid, but they get really humid. And so I didn't even think about that. When you make homes, you probably do have to make homes. You have to consider condensation and all types of shit from the heat and humidity and the shit in the air. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just a fraction. Who knows about the mold and mildew and shit that probably, you know, comes in the home if shit's not getting ventilated properly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see what else we got here. I guess we can do a little bit of taking out the trash. Let me play that and turn the volume down a little bit. Camille Cosby is back in the news. Remember last time we talked about her, her and her family were quote unquote distancing themselves from Bill Cosby and talking about they are trying to take all the money from him. And I said, that's probably a legal maneuver because Camille has had his back every step of the way. This is not a victim. She is complicit. She has defended him at every turn. After the verdict, she said he wasn't guilty, but for the purposes of getting, you know, protecting the money and putting it in her name and the kids and shit, she was like, we don't even talk to him, we have no interaction with him, you know, trying to protect his estate. Well, she's now saying her husband needs a new trial. She's not letting her husband's guilty verdict go and says this trial was unfair because the judge had a bad history with one of the key witnesses in the case. Camille told The Blast Bill Cosby was not afforded an impartial judge and he did not receive a fair trial. She claims Judge Stephen T. O'Neill had a bitter, long-standing feud with one of the key witnesses in the case. Back in 2006, former DA of Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, Bruce Castor, testified under oath saying he decided not to prosecute Cosby because he felt sexual assault charges weren't strong enough for a case. According to The Blast, Camille claims Judge O'Neill refused to believe the sworn testimony of Castor because the two were running against each other for district attorney in 1999 and both played dirty in their campaign, which resulted in O'Neill's loss. In addition, Camille says while the two were campaigning, O'Neill was romantically involved with a female assistant while married to his estranged wife. Castor somehow found out about the affair and invited the woman to a debate to support him. This caused O'Neill to become embarrassed, and in turn he performed poorly at the debate and then withdrew from the race. The two politicians' traumatic past is what made O'Neill decide not to dismiss the lawsuit against Cosby. Camille says the public should have known about Judge O'Neill's bias before rulings were made and that the judge let his own personal feelings override Mr. Cosby's right to a fair trial. Camille now wants the judge to reveal his alleged biases towards Castor and to correct the horrible injustice done to Mr. Cosby and to our system of justice. Cosby's legal team has also filed documents to reconsider the recusal of Judge O'Neill. Cosby, 81, is set to appear in court later this month for sentencing. He faces up to 10 years for 3 separate felony sexual assault charges. He is currently on house arrest. Like I said, she's part of the problem. She is a staunch defender of that dude. It doesn't matter that 60 women said her husband is a rapist. She's like, I was upstairs asleep, but also he didn't do it. You know, so, not surprised. Les Moonves stepped down at CBS. That dude was the CEO. And he only stepped down because more women brought sexual assault and harassment allegations against him. So a piece already was published where there was a women that came out. We talked about that a few weeks ago and they were like, oh, he's embattled, they're gonna have talks and meetings. Well, 6 more women came out and now he's finally stepped down. And by the way, they were gonna buy him out, like they were giving him a golden parachute to leave the first time, but these rich white men are so fucking powerful that they're basically like, I ain't leaving. Karen's doing a lot of head nodding over there, so just I know that she is listening and agrees.
Agreed, and that's it. The same thing to do Papa John's did. They was like, you can go. He was like, I ain't going nowhere. They was like, we gotta get him out of here. Somebody catch him seeing nigga.
Right. It's crazy that...
But somebody put out a call that was like, hey, anybody else get her ass? If you did, come on out.
it's crazy that they were able to, they were going to ride it out.
Right, right. A lot of times it has to do with pride and ego and, you know, I'm a rich white man. Nobody can tell me what to do.
Well, also the Me Too movement shit, the whole boogeyman stuff that they try to demagogue it with, it's not real. They mm-mm. say that shit is so scary, but they don't act like it's scary. When people are scared of something, they act like they're scared of something.
Yes, they do.
The Me Too movement don't have people scared because when shit like this firstly gets announced, it's, well, these women wanted it. Well, we need to look into it. Let's see more people come through. People keep acting like every man is just getting fucking tarred and feathered in the center of town.
And they're not.
And they're losing their careers and they're getting strung up. And it's like every time people overreact that way at the accusations, and then in the final result, when nothing happens to the dude, they never come back and go, oh, well, maybe I'm tripping. The Me Too movement doesn't really seem to be destroying people's lives.
Right.
But whenever it's a man they like, they always start with that.
The key word is a man they like.
Chris Hardwick. Oh, no, it's destroying people's lives. It's been 2 months. Chris Hardwick's back on the job. Nothing fucking happened.
Nothing
happened. So are you still gonna tell me that it's destroying people's lives and something's wrong with the movement and it's not fair? Right.
He'll be in Comic-Con next year.
You sound just like people when they go, black people saying these cops is racist and killing people, that's destroying these cops' lives. Like, well, I don't know, I think killing people should destroy your life. I think being a sexual assaulter should destroy your life. It should. It doesn't. No, but it should. Not. And we're still just talking about nothing criminal happening to this dude. We're talking about a dude literally stepping down from one of the most powerful jobs.
Yeah, a lot of people act like, for the fact that it was bought up, isn't that punishment enough? No, bitch.
And the other problem is these motherfuckers be going after they be trying to egg my man Ronan Farrow. And Ronan Farrow, the dude that brought down Weinstein, he don't play that shit. He stay with the receipts and he keep extra receipts on deck when he know the first receipts ain't gonna go through. Like, these are not the problems you want. People talk to that dude and he ain't scared to type it, and he go on TV, do all the interviews and everything, but he always lines up his, he lines his shit up like, okay then, mm-hmm, well, how about this story then? Okay, well, what about this story? At some point y'all gonna get embarrassed of me telling y'all business and to go, we don't want this dude working here. So y'all pick, because I guarantee he had 6 more ready
to
go.
He was like, I got more stories if you need them.
Yeah, because we talking about serial abusers. We're not talking about these one-off.
Right.
He said, she said, this isn't some date rape shit. No.
I got documentations. I got papers. I got Uber records. Do you need the hotel rooms and the numbers, bitch?
Yeah, not that anything is less than the other, but I'm saying when he starts talking about shit, he's lined it up. These aren't rumors and speculation. He has talked to people on the record. He has people's names, he has dates, locations, times. It's been vetted, it's been verified. So when people come at him haphazardly on some like, well, I just don't understand why the fuck they out here destroying these men's lives over rumors, he's like, but it ain't rumors. Here's the days, here's the receipts, here's the exact allegations,
here's the time sheet.
Right. So yeah, it's I mean, they, and people went on the record with it. So CBS basically started negotiating his departure and he stepped down. You know, I go into details about some of them, but I mean, you either believe the people or you don't at this point.
Correct.
But we're talking about physical sexual assault, talking about violence as far as like intimidation, pushing people up against walls and shit, not to mention, you know, career harassment. He was supposedly tried to basically destroy Janet Jackson's career after the Super Bowl because she didn't
everybody
apologize.
Was saying that shit wasn't right. Y'all was like, they basically, y'all stripped up from every fucking thing.
Yeah, if I was Justin Timberlake, I would have came out and been like, so can y'all please forgive me, because see, I apologized and cried to this man to get my career back. And you see how petty he is. I mean, I didn't know he was gonna just, I didn't know Janet wasn't gonna cry like I did. I think it's his fault, really. I thought Janet's career was gonna be okay. I didn't know he was gonna do that. That's what he needs to come out and say. Mm-mm. I know black people ain't gonna forgive him no matter what, but that's
sure,
what I would say.
Sure,
like, I kind of feel bad for him getting caught up in the game now. Like, he didn't come, he didn't want to smoke, and then and we have vilified this nigga forever since. He just didn't want no smoke. He was like, I just want dancing and have cornrows. I didn't sign up for none of this activism shit.
Right.
Shout out to Janet for not kissing his ass though.
Yep, and she's still touring and still making records and still making money and done had a baby and then she just living her best life.
And his wife was part of, like, his mouthpiece, because she's a television host, and she was going on TV saying shit about Janet Jackson that would have only been able to come from less. So, and they like synced it up with like, these are the accounts of what he said that, you know, and then here's his wife on TV saying this stuff as fact. Like, nobody else had, only, there's only one person's account of this that would know this information, and it's his.
Right, because nobody else is even speaking or saying anything about it.
Yeah, Julie Chen is her name. Yeah, it's some deep shit, man. And there's other, if it was Janet, if he thought he could do it to Janet, you know there were other women. Right? If he thought he could do it to Janet, there were definitely other women. Period.
Yeah, who knows how many women's careers he destroyed, how many women we will never find out. And a lot of times when you're serial like this, how many women that have died and took that shit to the grave, we will never even know their names.
And Weinstein was a person that was similar with the whole, I'ma destroy your career.
Because that's the threat.
Right. If you say something, I'ma destroy your career. So now, and carried out the threat on certain people that were just like, whatever happened to so-and-so? Well, Harvey told me she was hard to work with, and so I just didn't cast her. I didn't want no problems.
Right. She was great for the role. She fit. Next thing you know, nope.
Time's Up wants CBS to donate $120 million from his severance to sexual harassment groups. Time's Up be about it. People say what they want to about Time's Up, man. Them motherfuckers be about it. Like, dog, like.
Yeah, they, oh, you fucked up?
Like, everybody thought they were going to fade away on some, like, well, you know, we did the Emmy season and it's been a year. That was the movement, but Me Too is over. Like, Time's Up is still out here, like, we want them checks. Run the money.
Right, and we out here trying to do shit and help people.
Right, they write checks to different charities and organizations that help fight, and it's not just Hollywood shit, like stuff like farms and it's the industries that are rampant with sexual harassment, like the service industry. Like, they are on top of shit, and they are not simply concerned about the high glamour and glitz of white Hollywood starlets like people said they would be.
Right.
And they continue to do work,
you know, because the thing about Me Too, it is not only the rich white women, it is actually everybody. You know, no matter how quote-unquote glamorous or non-glamorous your job is.
Well, shout out to those Hollywood people for putting their fucking, using the capital that they do have of their fame to then siphon the money to people that don't have that.
Right, and they get criticized for that, and I don't understand. How else is this money fucking supposed to flow?
I still remember jealous-ass, petty motherfuckers sitting on Twitter shitting on the Emmys and the red carpet for having those activists up there with them.
Yes,
sir. As if, one, many of those activists wouldn't have taken the same fucking opportunity to go there and promote their charities and to promote their causes and to speak on the red carpet to the world and say, hey, this is what we need help with. Two, wouldn't have worked with alongside these women to help funnel resources to people who need them. Ridiculous to think that they wouldn't. Lies, liars, every last fucking one of them, I'd say it to their face. But then the other thing was, they also were like, this is some surface level shit, it won't matter, they won't do the work. Well, it's been a year, you know, it's been a while,
and they ain't disappeared.
They still ain't disappeared. It's almost as if they meant what they said when they were like, we're gonna let these women run the activism wing of it. We will be the face of, hey, give some money to this. Hey, we're you know me, I'm Viola Davis, okay? You know me, I'm famous. Y'all need to give money. Hey, we're gonna put pressure. We're a collection of actresses. We're gonna use our power together to put pressure on CBS and say, don't give that motherfucker $120 million severance. How about you give that money to women who need that shit, like the women that he fucking harassed and got away with, that y'all were protecting him?
Come on.
Like, nobody wanna come back and be like, oh, I was wrong about this. You know, that's that internet shit. That's that fake ass, you know, me, like, that's that fake ass outrage culture of, I was mad about this shit when it happened. I said it wasn't gonna be shit. Well, you turned out to be wrong, and nobody's around to go, yeah, this is actually good work.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope this happens.
Yeah, they're not going to apologize. There's, you know, a lot of people, when it comes to things like that, a lot of people, truth be told, just me just observing the internet, a lot of people just always angry when it ain't them, period.
Yeah.
If it ain't them, if the spotlight ain't on them, if they're not talking about their charity or their causes, what they're doing, even if it's a brilliant idea, and they can know it's a brilliant idea, they will still shit on it because their buddy, pal, best friend, cousin didn't come up with the idea. So it's, you ain't shit, your mama ain't shit, and nothing you can do ain't shit because I am not participating in this particular event.
The thing that kills me is they're never around for this part. There's like, this is why I can't fuck with people, because accountability is also being like, I was wrong. Be just as fucking loud, dog. Keep the same energy of they not gonna do shit as you have for this, which is, okay, well, apparently it's been a couple years, I was wrong.
Oh no, no,
they really are about this life, and they're working and they're helping people.
No, you'll never get that, because a lot of times, we, like I said before, we live in a world where people don't apologize. We live in a world where my bad don't exist, particularly online. Mm-hmm. In real life, it's a completely different story. But so, you know, some of them people carry that same energy offline. They just don't apologize, period. You know, but on the internet, you'll never get my bad. You know, I didn't mean it like that. Misunderstanding. You will never get that. Even if proven wrong, you will still never get that.
And think about this, the industries that they're helping, as much as people talk about helping women of color, service industry, women of color in those farms, you know, like migrant workers and shit, like, anyway,
a lot of brown people are benefiting. And the thing about it, sometimes I sit and I look at people that are in circles and things like that, and the way some of them fuss and argue, particularly with the Time's Up thing, it's like, are you really about your movement? You know, mm-hmm. I begin to not try to find a question your motives. Are you really about your movement? Because the thing is, when you're in certain fields, the movement is bigger than you. The movement is bigger than your pride, is bigger than your ego, it's bigger than you. So a lot of times you have to look beyond yourself and go, who is actually benefiting from this? Who is actually, who are we touching? Who are we reaching? You know, what are the good things that are going to come out of this that are bigger than me and how I feel right now? But, you know, people are human and people are flawed. But at the same time, it's very hard to get people to put themselves to the side and think of the bigger picture. And it begins to make me question a lot of people that are out there doing this work. It makes me begin to question your purpose and your cause of what you're doing. And I begin to say, you know, when it's time for me to give up my ducats and my money to certain causes, because I, you know, I do contribute to things, I don't say much about it, but we do give to things, I second guess people, and I go to other people who I really see what they do online. Because as much as people complain and fuss and woke and clap back and get at each other, people are watching you. People watch you. They watch you not apologize. They watch you show your ass. They watch you fall out with other activists. People watch these things, you know. And like I said, it just make me question and reevaluate a lot of things. Like I said, if the people that the Time's Up would have invited you, you'd have put on your finest, flew out there, and did just like these women did.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is, Time's Up be coming for resources. They come for checks, which is one of the reasons I like them. Because when they news pop up, it be like, so-and-so fucked up. What about the money? Like, because honestly, you're not going to get criminal justice in most of these cases. And that's also a completely different avenue, something that they necessarily aren't responsible for or can even pursue. But what about civil justice? What about these motherfucking checks? Because what about the ocean is littered with the bodies of the survivors of these people and their careers. That's the shit that doesn't get talked about, is right. We talk about the potential of these powerful men. What are we going to do without Louis C.K.? What are we going to do if there's no Aziz Ansari? What are we going to do if there's no, you pick the men, Chris Hardwick. We have to protect these men. We have to protect these men. They're geniuses. They're so smart. They're so great. So brilliant. We need them. Well, what about the bodies of the people they've destroyed to be who they are? You know, what about, like, none of those actresses that Bill Cosby assaulted were gonna ever be shit? None of them? Or is it that they aren't shit because Bill Cosby had to make sure that their careers stayed not shit in order to make sure that his his assaults stay not shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna make sure your career doesn't get above a certain point to where you present some level of threat to me with your power in the industry. And the same thing with Weinstein, the same thing with this dude. Like, there's a level of, and maybe I shouldn't have thrown Hardwick and Aziz in the same conversation necessarily, because I understand it was a different type of fucked up shit they did.
Right.
But I'm just saying, these dudes that are serial abusers like Let's Move Ass, and whatnot, that control the industry and have pull, they are specifically making sure these people's careers get sidetracked.
They are.
And so what is the cost to that? What is the cost of my potential? What is the cost of several women's potential for each of these men? You're talking about millions of dollars. You literally are talking about millions of dollars. So to me, it's not that far-fetched for them to be like, where's the money? Yeah. Y'all committed to justice.
Yeah, we're not
going to
get justice. Yeah.
Nice statement y'all released. Y'all have zero tolerance for this, even though you clearly had a lot of tolerance and were trying not to fire this man to cover it up. Well, I'll tell you what'll make me go away.
What'll make me go away, right?
You want to make me feel like you did something right? Give me the motherfucking money you were going to give him, and we're going to give it to women that actually need support. Because you know what else sexual assault and sexual harassment and workplace discrimination does? It costs you money. It costs you money to be sexually assaulted.
Come on.
It costs you money to be discriminated against in a workplace. Because if I want to fight this shit, I got to go to court. I'm probably going to lose my job. Companies fire people for fighting these things.
Mm-hmm.
My career potential earnings go down the drain because I become known as a malcontent, as a nonconformist, as a person that goes against the grain too much. So now I don't want to fucking have Jennifer Jones or whatever from this person from CBS who, you know, left CBS because she said Let's Move Ass grabbed her ass. Well, you know what? I don't want her over here at NBC. She calls too many waves. Well, now how the fuck do I measure that? How do I measure my potential earnings gone? Because you called somebody and said, don't hire me. Because you want to stick your dick down my throat. Fuck you. You know, so I don't. Anyway, it's super ridiculous. That shit is that way, and I'm glad Times Out is out here running people's pockets. Run their motherfucking pockets. I have no sympathy
Mm-mm.
for these companies or these men.
Mm-mm.
Terry Crews, the guy who assaulted him, Adam Bennett, they have settled the lawsuit, and he is exiting the agency. Adam Bennett is leaving. So that's a victory, you mm-hmm. know. Something that, you know, I'm sure him being a man played a big part in that. Mm-hmm. You know, no, that doesn't belittle Terry Crews, what happened to him or to work. I'm sure he'd be the first person to tell you. But absolutely positive and proud that, you know, he stuck it out, persevered, even though he got clowned by a lot of people's faves and shit. I'm glad he stuck it out, man. All right, going to part two real quick. We're at the break. But yeah, good for Terry Crews.
Agreed.
These people are that was another dude that I'm talking about, Adam Bennett. Adam Bennett was another person they tried to protect. This is the system in place. Is somebody does something like this, and the system first thing is they do is they wrap their arms around a person and go, you can't touch this person. Like, we don't want to be seen as selling this guy out. Not you, the person who was assaulted, but this employee of ours. We have to make sure that, you know, what do you have? Like, Russell Simmons emailed him to tell him, hey, Terry, chill out.
Mm-hmm.
And all the shit. I think he even got not brought back, or he ended up. Yeah, he didn't get brought back on the Expendables newest movie. Even though he was a big part of that franchise, he didn't get brought back because I think the producer or somebody told him, like, hey, you need to let this case go if you want to come back. So here's a system that even when the victim was a man, they were more concerned about protecting the system that keeps in place men being able to be abusive to people that are less powerful than them.
Correct.
That's why Me Too was a threat to a lot of people, because it just gives an idea. it's not reality at all. Mm-mm. It gives the idea that what if we had a world where we believe the people that were quote unquote not powerful as much as we believe the people that were powerful. And that by itself is fucking scary to people, even though it hasn't actually changed much yet.
Nope. And it's also, the thing is, a lot of times because of patriarchy, a lot of times that's why you have a lot of people that have form a lot of opinions about a lot of people doing shit that's not related to them, because they think, well, if this was to happen to me, odds are it will not happen to you. Mm-hmm. If you ain't out here grabbing women's asses, touching them, raping them, all that shit, if you ain't out here doing it, you will be just fine. Mm-hmm. But just for the fact that it quote unquote might or may happen makes a lot of men panic, even though they know that that, you know, odds are nobody's going to accuse them of anything.
Mm-hmm. And this man, this agent, was Adam Sandler's agent, Diane Keaton, Eddie Murphy, Kevin James, Rob Lowe, Sean Levy, Steve Martin, Sylvester Stallone, and Vince Vaughn's agent, as well as Brett Ratner and Dustin Hoffman. And those last two names are facing sexual misconduct allegations of their own.
Come on.
But it's a, it is a victory, though, that dude was forced to step down, even though it's a very small victory, because, like I said, we're not talking about guys going to jail.
Mm-mm. Right.
We're not talking about actual justice.
And when people kill me when they act like, well, justice and time, but nobody's been going to jail. What is this time has been served bullshit? I put myself in time out and come back when I feel like it, so everybody is just supposed to act like the shit never happened.
Right. Sterling K. Brown offers support for Predator co-star Olivia Munn. So Olivia Munn, and I'm probably sure we'll talk about this more in the Nerd Off since it happened in the Predator movie.
Okay.
But she had to fight to get a cut scene from the newest Predator movie removed, so it's not in the actual finished movie. But it was a street harassment scene where she's jogging and some dude's in a van, like, you know, like, hey, sweet tits or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the actor who plays the part of the street harasser is friends with the director, Shane Black. Shane Black hired this dude as a, like, to help out his friend, according to him. Well, this dude is a convicted sex offender, or sexual predator, I guess. She was made aware of this and was like, what the fuck? You can't just have me on the set with someone like that. You can't have a person like that on the set without informing people. And this is very unprofessional, and especially in the auspices of what this scene is about, kind of fucked up. And so the studio had the scene removed. But first thing they did was be like, why you want to make a stink about this? Maybe the movie's coming out, this might tank the movie, people might not go see it now, we should probably just keep this on the low. And she was like, fuck that shit, start talking to the press. She's talking to the press at her film, at these film festivals they have going on right now, doing the press run. Her male co-stars are like, yeah, I'm not talking about this, or I'm leaving. One of them even left the press, like the, you know, they do the pressers, and they have like a couple people from the cast, and they sit down and they talk, you know, it's like a poster in the background, and they talk to like somebody from the media, and they get to ask like four questions or so. You know, you see it on like Extra all the time. Mm-hmm. So they did one of those, and she had a male co-star there with her, and when that shit came up, he got up and left.
You know what, and the thing like that, that pisses you off, because shit like that is the reason why you got the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. Because motherfucking male egos are so goddamn fragile, and you to let this been some shit that happened to them, or some shit that they felt passionate about, motherfuckers would have lost their mind if they looked over there and their female co-workers got up and walked away because of some shit that they didn't want to talk about, even if they was in the right. Mm-hmm. But yet you got your ass up and fucking walked away, and so you left me on camera probably by myself doing an interview.
Not to mention, you're also talking about dudes that are gonna want to be known as allies, right? You know, that's, you know, that's absolutely gonna, well, you know, I'm an ally to the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna wear one of those pins, when it's coming to the Emmys, I'm gonna wear one of those pins on my lapel, like I support women and shit. Well, here was your chance. You know, this is some real shit. And honestly, the damage is done, you know? But this also tells you how big the system is.
Right.
Because Olivia Munn is prepared to take her career down for this. Like, she said, I might not act again just because of this. Not because she's just going on a limb, but also she's so disgusted. But she's prepared to give up a career, because you almost have to be to raise this. And what happened is, these men aren't prepared for that. If we're being quite honest, these men are like, yeah, I just got in this game. I know that me shitting on the studios, like, hit that's about to come out, or movie that's about to come out, if I'm associated with making this movie not pop up, then I might lose out. So nah, I'm good.
Right, because you also telling me status quo, and you're my coworker. Mm-hmm. Like we actually work together, right? So you're my coworker. So let's say something else happened with us being in it. Odds are you gonna tell them, I don't want to work with her. That's mm-hmm. That's the first thing. That's what you're telling me. We'll never work together again.
Yep, and it's hard. I understand. Like, I think a lot of people look online really makes people seem braver and more woke than they are.
Correct.
A lot of people go to work, they're dealing with situations, and it's involving a paycheck or a career, and they're not nearly as brave as they appear to be on social media. And some of the people that are brave like that, they're in the position to speak the way they speak because they're brave. And there's not a lot of people that share it. It is not a trait that everybody has.
No, it's not.
Online, though, it seemed like everybody has. Like, how many, I would have laid the hands on, you know, I wish this shit had happened in front of me. I don't ever think about, like, oh, I wish a motherfucker, boy, I just had this impulse inside of me. It's like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm actually kind of scared of the consequences of something happening in front of me, and me being like, I want to help this person. I got to be prepared to take the cost of that, because it's not free.
No, you know, not.
Like,
so a lot of people actually just walk away because it's like, it's not worth me getting involved.
Yeah, it's not brave if everybody would have done it.
Come on,
that's the thing. It's easy to talk about this utopian society where everybody's just fucking putting their life on the line for their fellow man and woman. It's not true. We've lived life. We know it's not true. It is very much the exception to the rule. It's why I refuse to be one of these niggas that do the, oh, so because this white man said, y'all need to leave this black person alone, I'm supposed to give him a cookie. I'm like, I mean, you ain't gotta give him a cookie, but you also ain't gotta talk shit about the motherfucker.
Right, he did the right thing.
Right.
How many people keep trucking?
My life experience has told me people don't do the right thing.
No, they don't.
So when someone does do the quote unquote right thing, I'm not gonna treat it like status quo, because it ain't. When we get there, we can have the discussion of it ain't nothing special. Until then, it's something special. When that pregnant woman was getting harassed by that dude in the parking lot, and another dude came up and defended her, and they were strangers, they didn't even know each other, and he punched that dude in the face, and the dude, for some reason, the old man did not believe he could get punched in the face. I don't know what he thought. He punched that black man in the stomach, and that black man mollywopped him in his eye, and he was like, what are the rules to fighting? And but the point being, I'm thankful for dudes like that that step up and be like, I don't know this pregnant black woman, but I'll be goddamned if you about to do this in front of me.
Come on,
because it's not common. We can't live in a world where I don't want to live in a world where I can see that something isn't common and then immediately downplay the shit when it happens, like it ain't shit, because that's just too much I want to be mad at both people thing. Like,
right.
I want to be mad no matter how this unfolds. Well, I don't. Fuck that shit. Thank you for the help. When those white dudes got killed on that train, you know, I still, mm-hmm. like, I'm glad those black girls are still alive, and it happened because those two white dudes was willing to die.
Right.
To intervene. You know, I'm not gonna diss their memories or talk shit about them or talk about how that should be the status quo when I know it's fucking not.
Right.
I know it's not. So, like, and I don't want no extra fucking, like, I'm super woke points for pointing out that, well, that's just how I should be. Like, nigga, people ain't willing to die for no fucking strangers. That ain't normal.
No, they're not.
Fuck you talking about? Some of y'all wouldn't die for y'all fucking loved ones.
Right. Some of y'all own kids. What are we talking about here?
Some of y'all niggas wouldn't die for the person you married. You talking about dying for a fucking stranger on a train because you just know right from wrong? Like, that is some real shit that most people don't have within them. So I understand all that to say, I understand it's easier to be online and to diss these dudes and be like, they weren't brave and what the fuck. I understand that it's easy to take that shot. That being said, I don't think you can ever call yourself an ally of anything. I don't think you can ever wear those fucking lapel pins. I don't think you can. It took more effort to get up and leave than it took to sit there and say nothing.
Right. That's the thing. You could have said absolutely nothing. And if somebody asked you, you'd be like, this is her situation. I'll let her tell her story. The end.
Yeah, I mean, there was one interview where she was talking, and I can't remember if it's Trevante Rose or the other dude, but they were like, so y'all basically are gonna let her just kind of take this on by herself. And he was like, well, she's strong enough to do it by herself. And it didn't feel like a compliment on some, well, she's so strong. Mm-mm. We don't need to say anything. It felt kind of like, well, this is what she want to do. This is her thing. Like we weren't all on the set. And now, in all fairness, she was the only principal actor in the scene with that dude.
Right.
So maybe they did feel a way about, like, I would be speaking on something I wasn't involved in. But nigga, you was involved in the movie. You involved in promoting the movie with your co-star right now. It's not just her thing, you know? So, I can't even say they let me down. It's just par for the course. This is what people do. Cause they scared to not get cast in another movie. They're scared Shane Black won't, you know, do this. They're scared the movie will tank. Which I'm like, the movie gonna tank even worse cause of y'all's reaction.
Correct.
Legitimately, when I first heard this story, listen, y'all know I love Impossible White Man movies, and I love sci-fi, and I also love movies about white people fucking with shit they ain't got no business fucking with. Predator is kind of all three. Also the other thing I like, when I saw the casting, diverse cast.
It really was.
Some of my favorite actors. Trevante Rose is in this. Sterling K. Brown is in this. Keegan-Michael Key is in this joint. Like, these are actors I enjoy, you know? So I was like, I really kind of want to see this movie. Then the stuff with Olivia Munn saying they took this, it was a dude on set and he's a sexual predator and they took the scene out. And that actually made me want to see it more. I was like, wait, so Fox was proactive in being like, yo, take this shit the fuck out of the movie. What the fuck were you doing? And I went, oh, okay, well shit, like, I understand how a lot of people feel emotionally about controversy. They're like, controversy happened. I don't want to be associated with it all. And I'm more like, controversy happened. How'd you handle it?
Right. To me, that's more important.
Right. So no, and you know, this is not to take it back here, and I'm not picking on you, Karen, but it's kind of my Papa John's stance, which is, yeah. Well, they did something about it. What the fuck is the next step? Like, the next step is they go out of business. Like, to me, that's the opposite of what I want them to do. No.
Correct.
Do the right thing and fire this nigga, and then I will buy some pizza. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see, well, hey, you know, John just crazy. No. Fire the nigga named John that is the fucking, I don't give a fuck if his name and face is on the logo. Take him the fuck off and act like he died. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, they had to redo their boxes and shit because, like, his pictures was on the fucking boxes.
Right, and I'm okay with it. It cost y'all a lot of money to do it, and I know most companies wouldn't have and all that shit. I don't care if you had to frame him for saying the N-word. None of it bothers me.
No, it does not.
I'm glad he's gone. I will have a slice now. That's my approach. Other people's approach is, I feel bad that he ever said anything. I'm angry, and I'm never going to fuck with them at all. Not knocking their approach. Totally, just a totally different approach to life than I have.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all took the scene out. Yes, that's what I want to see.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
More, like, companies should do shit like that.
More details come out. All of a sudden, it's the co-stars don't want to do press with me. Y'all weren't the pedophile. Why the fuck are y'all not doing press? What y'all scared of? Y'all,
right.
He's not even your friend.
Right,
you weren't even in the scene. It should be super easy for you to be like, yeah, fuck that nigga, Olivia all day. What, like,
yeah, I wasn't in the scene. Like, she has more of a right to talk about this than I ever did.
Yeah, I agree with her. That's all you gotta say, because they gonna ask you because you're sitting right there. Yeah, I agree with her. Well, I wasn't there, but look, I believe Olivia. I think it's important to support women, yeah, this should have never taken place. There you go. Another reason you should have said something, because Shane Black came out himself and had to issue a statement. And he's like, basically, I was misled by my friend. I didn't fully understand the extent of his crimes. I basically just believed the story that he told me on some like, oh, it was just a misunderstanding, blah, blah, blah. Now I've looked at transcripts because all this shit is publicly available.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the extent of how fucked up it was what he did. He really was trying to start a sexual relationship with a 14-year-old girl online. Yeah, I should have never hired him and never been friends, whatever. Right?
Right. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I deal with the consequences. He'll never work with me again.
Yeah. And if I was going to do something like that, I should have asked every actor on the set, are you comfortable with this person being here?
And that was her thing.
And if you couldn't do that, I think you have your fucking answer.
Right.
If in your mind you thought to yourself, I do not feel comfortable going to every person involved and saying, so I'm gonna be bringing my boy on, he's a convicted person that tried to start an online relationship with a 14-year-old girl, I'm gonna bring him on set for this scene where he street harasses Olivia Munn running down the street, is everyone gonna be okay with that? Yeah, dog, no, I'm actually not okay with that. Yeah, I don't even know, as the words came out of my mouth, I realized no one in their right mind would be okay with that. And I'm gonna go ahead and tell him to go home. I don't know what I was thinking.
You could have picked anybody off the street to do that role.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was such an insignificant role, they fucking cut it.
And I think he's done this in other, like, this is not the first time he's cast this dude.
It's not. That's what people are saying, it's not.
So at the premiere, Munn said that her co-stars, including Boyd Holbrook, Gervonta Rose, and Keegan-Michael Key, all stood to give Black what appeared to be an ovation at the beginning of the film. I look back and I see the guy standing up, and I was just confused because I hadn't heard from them during the day. Everybody else is sitting down. It wasn't like this massive standing ovation for him. I felt it was still appropriate to clap and cheer, but to actually make the gesture to stand up, especially in this moment. And privately, I knew that no one reached out to me to say, are you okay? It did feel bad. The other thing about this is now even that kind of shit is up for discussion. If y'all would have had her back, it wouldn't have been. But now you're clapping for this dude that you know did this horrible thing as if he's the beleaguered person here. Like, oh, we gotta have his back. I mean, shit, he almost fucked up the movie by hiring his pedophile friend. Oof. Like, yeah, sit your ass down. There's nothing to clap for. As the press duties have continued, Munn said that her co-stars have canceled scheduled interviews with her. Another said, walked out of an interview when the issue of the cutscene came up. And see, this is another thing. Doing you a favor by not saying your name. People skip on these little things. Like, sure, she allows us to speculate it could be any of these motherfuckers. She doing someone a huge favor by not being like, and it was blank.
But you know what? Other people's in that fucking room. Somebody seen that person walk out.
Mm-hmm. It might be footage of it.
Right.
When Munn decided to give a comment to the Times, she told Smith she reached out to all her co-stars privately to encourage them to make statements of their own. I wanted them to not be blindsided the way I was blindsided. I encouraged them to put out a statement once the LA Times reached out to us, Munn said. I was surprised that none of them did. Again, that's their prerogative. Right now, the reality is that there will be people who wear Time's Up pins, say they support Time's Up, but they will be people in Time's Up who aren't really down with the cause. In an interview with TIFF, the Los Angeles Times, alongside Munn and Augusto Aguilera, Rose said, I wasn't disappointed in Shane, I was disappointed in the situation. I'm happy that Liz spoke up. A representation for Keegan Michael Key said in a statement, Keegan was never booked to do an interview with the Hollywood Reporter. His last interview was scheduled after lunch, which he completed. He was always departing TIFF early so he could be home to spend the Jewish holiday with his wife. Furthermore, Keegan reached out to Olivia privately last week to let her know how proud he was of her and echoed that sentiment in many interviews since then. So it sounds like some people are trying to offering some alibis. It only leaves one more person. Because Sterling wasn't there because Sterling's filming This Is Us. So Sterling K. Brown, of course, like I started this, put like a tweet, an Instagram post, everything. Like, I support her. She's right. The one thing that he said in the Instagram post that some people took issue with, but I actually agree with, and I think, you know, like I said, kind of that black and white internet culture is kind of making people feel like you have to jump in and be on 10. But I think he said the right thing, which is, Forgiveness is an individual thing, and what can be forgiven is an individual thing. So
come on, and that's true.
So because Olivia Munn said basically like, I don't forgive people that harm animals or kids, and he's like, yeah, I can't say what the fuck someone else should forgive. What I can say is, when you put someone like this on set, you need to let people know so they can decide if they want to work with him or not. That's reasonable and that's fair.
Correct.
The idea of I have to forgive him or not for being on, that's some bullshit. I like, y'all pick that, you know what I mean? Because it literally, it's kind of like, I saw people being like, that wasn't good enough, he should have said something else. I'm like, yeah, but then there's other situations with Mike Vick where I know niggas forgave him.
Yes, they did.
But there's a lot of people that ain't never forgive Mike Vick, and people mock them.
Like they do.
Like, oh, it's just some dogs. I remember those days. Like,
people still feel like that.
Right. And so it's kind of that thing where it's like, that is individual.
Mm-hmm.
And that part, you can't really litigate or legislate on the set.
Nope.
You can inform people.
And that's the biggest part.
That part you can write down as a rule. You can put that in stone. That seems like the least. That doesn't vary person to person.
Nope.
Because maybe they will say, I work with them. I don't know. I don't know what that person will say.
Right.
But
they may have some stipulations. Yeah, he can work here, but he can only do the, like, you don't never know.
I what if I want to bring my kid on set? And now I didn't know that this dude was there and you was, and he's only there because he's your friend.
Correct. And who knows if they were even truly on a set while he was there.
There was. And right. Students, and to see the studios have their hands tied to a certain extent. Studios are legally limited in how much background they can do on certain people. So like, they can't, cause obviously you can imagine if we're talking about criminal background checks and shit, there can be some bias.
Correct.
For certain people in certain roles. I think that's not unreasonable to say, and I can see why the argument might be, I don't want them looking into everybody's criminal background, because they might be like, well, this nigga stole a Tootsie Roll in fifth grade. We don't want this nigga on set. And just so happens this other dude is a pedophile and we're gonna keep him on set because we like him. Not to mention that, you know, a lot of y'all faves got records and shit, so I don't know how that would work. But the idea of informing people with some crime this egregious of who you're working with, and especially as you're the director or putting them on set as your friend, come on, dog. And you knew.
Right.
And I do believe Shane Black. I do believe Shane Black when he said that dude probably told him a version of events that were not true.
Correct.
That's kind of what people that do heinous crimes like that do. They tell you some shit like, oh, you know, it's just like, I bought a used computer or something. Just some weird story where you're like, okay, so it wasn't what it seemed like. It wasn't no To Catch a Predator shit. Nope, it wasn't what you think. It was just a crazy mix up. Okay, well, I mean, he did 6 months in jail, I guess. I mean, he probably got a hard time getting hired now, man. Well, you my friend, I'll look out for you.
Right.
And you know why he didn't look up anything else about it? Because he didn't care. Because it's a man. And that was his friend. And that was all he needed. And the vast majority of people are absolutely that way.
Yeah, they are.
It's the same way that people with confidence say shit like, yeah, I know a couple men that was falsely accused of rape. Do you, though? Do you for sure know that they were falsely accused? Do you? Or those your friends and you're just gonna take what they said at face value and not look any further into it? Like, did you talk to the person that accused them? Did you see any court documents that said they were falsely accused? And when you talked about convictions, some of this shit is public record. You can just go look at what exactly happened and what the state's evidence is.
Audio and shit typed out.
Right. And you can be like, oh, no, this motherfucker did that shit and lied to me and then told me it was just some misunderstanding. So I believe Shane Black absolutely took that man's word for it, but partially because he didn't want to not take his word for it, because then that means I gotta be responsible.
Correct.
And ultimately it's stupid because you still end up being responsible.
Right.
Ultimately it's so stupid because you really can't plead ignorance to this shit.
Mm-mm.
Because what are you gonna say? Because the only excuse you can have is I didn't know at all, and that dude ain't gonna let you get away with that. First person to talk to him, he gonna be like, oh, nah, he knew. I mean, that's my homie. He knew. I told him, and he said he was okay with it. So I don't know why y'all getting on me. And now we're gonna come right back to your ass like, you said you didn't know. So yeah, man, I total shit show by everybody involved, pretty much. And hearing that the studio tried to cover it up and then basically couldn't because she was like, yeah, I'm gonna keep talking about it. That's sad too, because I really would have liked to see a proactive studio.
Right, and it might gonna end up hurting it in the long run.
Right. Boyd Holbrook said, I want to start by apologizing for the statement coming late in the current conversation. I do not take any of what is going on lightly, and I want to speak from the most honest, genuine place possible. I've stated before, and I will state it again. I'm proud of Olivia for the way that she handled a difficult and alarming situation, and I'm grateful that Fox took the information seriously and took action swiftly. It is true that I pulled out of a small amount of press on Saturday, so it was him. I knew it. I was wondering why them other people dropped them statements, because I was like, okay, so it's only three dudes it could have been. Trevante was like, I'll fuck with Liv. She's shit. I'm proud of how she handled it. I was at the press conference. Keegan Michael Key was like, I wasn't scheduled to do afternoon. I went home and celebrated with my white wife and we did the Jewish holiday and, that was scheduled. And so I didn't pull out of nothing scheduled. So.
Right. Anything scheduled. I was at all my events.
So that leaves one more person. And then boy, like, yeah, so so I did pull out of a press conference. But I'm so proud.
My bad.
Boy, is that egg on my face. So I guess you heard the news, huh? I guess you heard a little bird told you that some of us missed a couple events and shit. It's crazy, dog. It's crazy to me too. But yeah, he said, it's true that I put out a small amount of press on Saturday as this type of social commentary is new to me. And given the nature of the originating crime, I felt further discussion could cause unwanted trauma and pain, neither of which I wanted to incite to the anonymous young woman. I now realize that, yeah, I don't think there is an anonymous young woman. I thought maybe it was. I don't know. I now realize that my understanding of the situation was not the full picture, and the last thing I want is for Olivia to ever feel abandoned or alone. We are in the midst of a very crucial, important time, and it's imperative we keep listening. Well, that's a good statement after the fact.
After the fact.
After he vowed out, I guess it's a good statement. If I'm a person that's gonna leave you out to dry, that's what I would say later. So. yeah, that's wild. But to another extent though, you do have to give some level of credit to knowing what you don't know.
Correct, because everybody don't know everything.
Only thing worse than sitting in that interview and being uncomfortable, or sitting in that interview or leaving that interview and letting her sit by do the interview by herself. The only thing worse is being in that interview and saying some dumb shit
that you're uninformed on. Correct.
Everybody forgets that part. I think a lot of us, you know, live in an area where, in an era where there's people are more expected to be social media savvy, they're expected to be press savvy, they're expected to know the right statements. Everybody ain't on that shit.
No, they're not.
And a lot of motherfuckers are not living their life in no box, so they just like, they're like, I ain't keeping up with the latest Me Too news or trends or topics or what to say, what not to say. And I know my dumb ass will fuck this up and be talking to my agent at 5 o'clock about how my career is done, or how my, you know, I done fucked up the next project because I said, well, I heard 14 is the new 18. You know, some stupid shit.
Some stupid shit like that.
I was trying to make light, you know, I she was crying and shit, you know, I was trying to make a joke, you know what I'm saying? I just hopped in real quick, was like, people say that I have the maturity of a 14-year-old, so I guess it's not really being a pedophile. And she did not laugh. And
nobody in the room laughed.
Everybody started booing and throwing tomatoes. So
right, I don't know what happened.
Anyway, I guess I will not be starring in the remake of Knight Rider anymore. Like, yeah, I can understand the pressure of, I don't know shit about this, so I left. But like I said, I don't think, you're not gonna get no props for that shit. And, you know, at best, that's the bare minimum of, you know, I know I'm stupid, so let me leave. It's the bare minimum.
I know I'm stupid.
And I guess
I wish more people would recognize that they were dumb.
And I guess when the other dudes didn't when it wasn't like, oh, we're all abandoning her, then he probably did feel stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Olivia Munn said, I feel like I'm the one going to jail. I didn't go to jail. I didn't put this guy on our set. I had the scene deleted. Thank God, honestly, that there is social media. It's the fans, the news outlets that's confirming it to me that what I did was the right thing. If I didn't have that feedback, I'd kind of go a little crazy thinking, why am I being treated like that? Like this. That's not okay to feel like the bad guy. Yeah, that actually makes sense too. Cause right. I guarantee you, if it wasn't for fans telling her like, hey, you did the right thing and there's nothing wrong with what you did. So who else is going to tell her that was right?
Hello.
The studio's uncomfortable. The cast is uncomfortable. The director hasn't even called her. He apologized publicly via like social media, but he didn't reach out privately to be like, yo, I'm sorry. So what reason does she have to believe that she did the right thing?
Correct.
You know? As the Los Angeles Times originally reported, Munn was tipped off that Striegel was a convicted sex offender and notified Fox on August 15th through the Times, though the Times reports that the executives quickly worked to cut Striegel's scene. Munn told Variety that the studio waited 2 days to tell her they'd taken action, and in that time she told them she didn't feel comfortable presenting at the VMAs on August 20th unless the scene was cut. Getting a convicted sex offender out of a movie that has a global reach is extremely important, but the reality of what I've had to go through in this process of just finding out is a crazy thing. It's like I stumbled upon something and now I'm being chased by everyone and isolated. Munn has been working in Hollywood for over a decade with recent roles in X-Men Apocalypse and Ocean's 8. She's in Ocean's 8? I don't remember her in there. When was she? Maybe she was, anyway. But she said her recent experiences made her consider leaving the industry altogether.
A celebrity cameo, somebody said.
Okay. I love being an actor, but if it comes at this cost, who wants it? Who cares? I'm so much more than who I am as an actor. So many other things going on in my life. I love it, but they can take it if that's what it comes down to. Yeah, it's sad you gotta be at that point to even say that, to get somebody that's really a bit actor taken out of the film.
Correct.
And you're one of the stars. Like, stupid. But anyway, man, that's it for trash this time. And yeah, man, like I said, I'm not a boycott person at all. Y'all already know that. I've said it a million times on the show. But this shit left a sour taste in my mouth, and a film that I was excited about seeing, now I'm like, yeah, I'll see it when I see it.
Right.
Like, you know, I was kind of like, oh, a Predator, maybe they finally made it, you know, a good sequel, because you know, they never really made another, to me, they've never really made a bad Predator movie for me. Like, I've enjoyed Predator 1 and 2 are classics.
Yes, period. I've actually seen both of them. As much as a scaredy cat as I am now, I was young, I used to love scary movies.
I feel like not enough people saw Aliens versus Predator, which is a goddamn shame.
I didn't see that.
I want to say that's what it was. I'm gonna Google it real quick, but I think it was the first one, or maybe it was the second one. Let me Google that real quick before I tell y'all the wrong thing, because one of them, Alien vs. Predator, is actually really good, and it stars a black woman as the lead in the action movie, and I'm like, how am I the only nigga that saw this movie and knows it's good? Because that's kind of ridiculous. Yeah, no, it wasn't Alien versus Predator. What was it? Also, there's more than one. So there's 2004. Let me see. I can't remember which one it was, but one of these joint stars, a black one.
I said 2015. It says Sanaa Lathan.
Sanaa Lathan starred in one. Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. Sanaa Lathan turns out to be, I mean, guess spoiler alert, but she turns out to be a hero. And she was good as fuck, man. Like, I was really surprised that, Sanaa Lathan in 2004, Alien vs. Predator. Yeah, that's the one. So, yeah, that movie's actually fucking good. And kind of in the spirit of the other movies, you know? None of the other Alien vs. Predator really just got out of control. Like, Requiem wasn't that good to me. So, so anyway, point being, I was kind of excited. This franchise is actually a kind of slept on franchise. And it's kind of held up over the years. Like, you can still watch that Danny Glover joint and that Schwarzenegger joint, and they still hold up. And the Sanaa Lathan joint. And then you get this diverse cast, and this shit just, this controversy has kind of ruined my buzz about it, man. So I probably won't be going to see it now.
Right. It's probably not even going to make as much money as it probably would have now.
Yeah. And like I said, a large part of that is because they wanted to avoid talking about the scandal. They actually made it worse.
Yes, they did.
Imagine if they would have just been like, let's lean into this shit. Let's talk about it. Let's get it out there. Let's be upfront about it and transparent. There has to be a shift in what these scandals look like, because it's not that the scandals won't happen.
Right.
The transparency in how you deal with them is what the change has to be.
Correct.
You know, and you had a chance to look so good on this. Mm-hmm. At least in my eyes. I know a lot of people are not that nuanced, and they would just be like, well, the fact that something happened was, that's enough. And I'm not blaming them. I'm not knocking them. It's just a different way of looking at shit. But you have, now you got me and them going, I don't want to see your shit. So how's that better? You know, handle your shit. All right. We've been talking for quite some time. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. No more games. Let's do sword ratchetness and get out of here.
Okay.
Hate to end on a somber note of the trash, but whatever.
The trash can need to be cleaned out.
Right.
It was overflowing with trash, y'all.
A man with a samurai sword arrested during a break-in at Jamba Juice store.
Oh, ain't that the smoothie place?
Mm-hmm.
I've never had one. All I know is, just know it's a smoothie place.
Well, it wasn't going too smooth when this motherfucker showed up.
It sure wouldn't. They wouldn't blend well then, was they?
He was chopping something up, but not fruit. Police were responding to a reported break-in in a Marina area Jamba Juice, arrested two men, including one who was not involved in the store entry but was in possession of a samurai sword.
Oh, shit.
So he wasn't even involved in the crime. He just happened to have a sword. Around 4:15 a.m., officers responded to a report of a person smashing the window at Jamba Juice. When officers arrived, they spotted the man in the store, took him into custody at gunpoint. Meanwhile, another man who happened to be hanging around outside of the store was questioned by officers and arrested after he was found to have a samurai sword.
Mm-mm. Oh, so he was just walking by. They were like, you look suspicious.
Wrong place, wrong time, wrong sword.
Come on.
Next week, we obviously, we're doing a live show, so we'll probably take a couple days off before we do the live show. Duh. But also, next week, Sunday, Chris Lambert is going to be the guest.
Yay!
And Monday, our girl Hadia from the Black Ass Podcast is going to be a guest on the show.
Yay! Hey, been looking forward to that.
So if everything goes as planned, we'll have those two guests next week. And like I said, definitely gonna take at least one day off before the Thursday show, if assuming that, you know, the hurricane doesn't knock out all the power and all this shit. So, you know, pray for our power and all that stuff. Thoughts and prayers for Duke Power and our internet and stuff, so that we can continue to do the show for y'all.
I know y'all, everybody ready to come. We ready for y'all to get here too.
Yep. So we'll see you guys Saturday for feedback, assuming that everything's still standing.
I think it will be.
I hope so. Hopefully hurricane hurricane pregnancy scare won't
hurricane, I give your ass something to crap on.
Yeah, hopefully that shit will leave us alone. All right, y'all, until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.